you know, these revelations of, that, you know, the elite at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape, and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I like read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mention it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing, and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012. First time since 2012 that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah, British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So, you got that going for you.
And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? Well, like, and I mean, we've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, been, who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's an initiation that you go through to become, it's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations, or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote, yes, quote, I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic, they're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people in who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection right before they do so. They start attacking the people that they're about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
And lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of, also of predictive programming.
I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, black magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready. And then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it. And then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity.
have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It's been a crazy one. It's about to be a really crazy day. I am warning you of just that. We got our eyes on a couple of things happening today. Tulsi Gabbard, who is obviously the Director of National Intelligence, is expected to testify in front of the Senate Intel Committee at 10 a.m. Eastern Time today. And I would assume that the topic of Joe Kent leaving will probably be brought up a couple of times. Maybe a couple times. That resignation letter was absolutely insane. And so one would assume that that is likely going to be brought up during today's hearing. When she does make her opening statements, we will bring that to you. Of course, we've got our eye on that. And again, that is expected to happen at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. Also happening today is, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He's expected to sit in front of the Senate and, get grilled by the Senate because he has been nominated to be the next DHS secretary after Christina was pushed out of her position. Again, we'll be following that. And when something important has come about it, we will bring that straight to you. Now, when it comes to today's show, we got a great lineup of guests joining me. Larry Taunton will be joining us later in the program, as well as Rob Madness. But we'll also be joined by one of my favorite members of Congress, Congressman Andy Ogles, will be joining us in about 20 minutes. I've got a lot to talk about with him because they're trying their best to go after him because he's speaking out against Islam. Surprise, surprise. They're even trying to censor him. And so we'll be getting his reaction to that. Plus FISA, which is up for renewal. I know a lot of people aren't talking about it, but you know, that's one of my favorite things to chat about. So we look forward to having him on to see where he stands on that FISA renewal because yesterday I did reach out to a couple of people because I heard that Chairman Jim Jordan was actually all in for a clean FISA renewal. It was strange. I reached out. I confirmed that the report that was reported by the mainstream media was true by a member of his camp. And it's not just that. It also looks like Speaker Mike Johnson's jumping on board too. So I'll bring you the details on that in about 20 minutes. But I kind of want to catch you up on everything else that's going on. We'll also be taking calls during today's show. I'm going to try to take calls every day this week, of course, since it's my last week hosting. So I know many of you guys wanted to jump on the lines and chat. We'll do that later in the show as well. We've got it planned for the final 30 minutes of the program, so we'll keep to that. But let's dive into what everyone's talking about right now. Currently, a White House letter was sent to the White House, and it's from two GOP senators today explaining some of the concessions that they're willing to take up on offering Democrats when it comes to DHS reforms. As many of you guys know, it's currently a standoff right now between those in the Senate because, they don't want to reopen DHS. Now, the Democrats go on their cable news shows. They say, oh, we offer to fund TSA. But no, you gotta fund it all. And, Democrats think that Republicans would even entertain that idea. They'd have to be morons. But again, they are. That's the reason why they're Democrats. So when it comes to the reforms itself, well, here's some of the suggested reforms that are being made to, again, this letter, the letter White House sent to two GOP senators. Let me just make that clear. It was obtained by Fox News. They're looking for things like this, DHS officers to wear their IDs. Yeah, I don't think they should be able to put their first and last names on their IDs. If there's a different way to identify them, maybe just having an identification number, okay, that makes sense. But I would not recommend our agents, our officers putting their first and last names on the front of their badges or their uniforms. I just don't think it's appropriate, given the fact that we know that the left is a bunch of crazy lunatics and they will go after these people. But it doesn't stop there. This is a good one. The use of body cam. Yeah, they're looking to expand that. That makes sense. That makes sense. Videos will be retained and there will be increased congressional oversight. That was another one of their demands in this letter. DHS will also avoid operations at sensitive locations. Expect in extreme circumstances that will have to do with public safety or national security. This is already the current policy. So again, they're putting that on the table. DHS won't deport U.S. citizens or arrest unless they committed an eligible crime. Also already what the current policy is. So again, that doesn't seem to make any sense. There's nothing about unmasking those warrants though. And that would probably be something the Democrats will be demanding again because they want to see those warrants. So again, this is what Republicans are doing. They're saying they're offering this. They're saying, hey, listen, if you want reforms, we'll give you more body cam footage. We'll allow you to have access to their IDs. Again, I hope it's just their numbers rather than their first and last name because we shouldn't be exposing these people. And so on and so on. So we'll see how this goes. Now, again, that's Bill Mnuchin from Fox News reporting just that. So we're going to keep our eye on it. I also want to get some other news, some big news. You know, as many of you guys know, I reported when Jeff Clark was stepping away from the administration. This is a massive blow. And I think it just highlights the fact that nothing's really getting done in the White House that you and I would probably want. But there's some good news because Jeff Clark is now with one of my favorite groups, the Oversight Project. Jeff Clark is now the vice president of litigation. And this was just announced yesterday. As many of you guys know, the Oversight Project is the watchdog group that goes after the administrations that are potentially abusing their power. And they're constantly giving a bunch of recommendations. And I truly do like, we've had them on the show, Mike Howell, we'll have them on the show, the Oversight Project. They do great work. And so seeing Jeff Clark land over there is great news. But what's even greater news is Jeff Clark will be joining me on our Friday show. And so we look forward to having him on. I haven't had him on since he joined the administration, so it's a lot to catch up with. And I look forward to having Jeff on the show on Friday morning. All right, let's do a deep dive. I don't know if you guys saw this, and I think it's really, really important that we highlight it, but James O'Keefe released a video, and it was a 28-minute video report. It was great, but I want to crunch down the first 3 minutes of that video because James O'Keefe is in California, and he's exposing the election fraud that's taking place. Apparently, they're giving out cash to homeless people if they fill out a voter registration. In clip one, take a listen.
The petitioner Brenda Brown hands cash money to the homeless person, not only for signing the California ballot initiative, but also as payment for them to register to vote.
Now, because you haven't registered, I need to register you so I can get paid too. I'm paying you guys, I need to get paid.
That is a federal felony, and it didn't just happen once, it happened over and over and over again. We personally witnessed and covertly filmed this happening at least 28 times over the span of our investigation, and that is just in Los Angeles. Many of the homeless have zero understanding of what it is that they're actually signing.
But what is that petition for? You know
the petition for?
The petitioners instruct the homeless to enter made-up addresses like Pinocchio Lane.
How do I put it in my address?
Yeah, just put it up. You live on Pinocchio Lane.
Oh, good.
And all of this occurring just outside the front doors of shelters and NGOs such as Weingart Center, which have received hundreds of millions of dollars in government money. One Weingart employee tells us when and where to find the illegal cash exchanges for signatures outside and says the cash being given out is coming from a higher source.
Do you know if they provide the money that they're handing out?
When they give the money out, they got to go back and tell them if they're stealing the money or not, so they got to have six. Most of them be right across the street under that tree. You can check with your mother through Friday.
While another Weingart employee advises the homeless on how to practice plausible deniability and ignorance of the law.
See, they say ignorance is not excuse for the laws, but don't I have to say I didn't know? I have no idea.
Oh, that would be what he should say.
The petitioners orchestrate an elaborate pyramid scheme of unregistered petition circulators.
If I were to hire you, you would be under me.
Yes.
I'm under my son, I'm under him, and you're under me. So it's like a pyramid game. And really, I don't need you. You need me. I don't need you.
One of the petitioners threatens to attack one of our journalists.
Go down the street, bro, before we move you down the street. I'll knock you out looking right at me.
Bro, why are you trying to be like that, bro?
Man won't knock your ass out. Bitch ass nigga, don't come over here again. I'm gonna beat your ass.
As an employee of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority records not the fraud, but the people exposing it.
That's your kiss.
Why are you telling me?
Why are you filming us?
I'm with the LAPD.
You know it's a crime to say you're with the police or you're not.
No, I'm not with the LAPD.
Well, that's what you just said 2 minutes ago. Why did you lie?
As the NGOs pretended to be the police in order to intimidate us, I began to wonder whether we're still living in America. The Department of Justice has been sent these tapes of election fraud cash exchange for voter registration happening in broad daylight. And we have informed the Department of Justice there are more tapes coming. There will be a new tape dropping every day until someone is arrested or indicted. George Washington said the administration of justice is supposed to be the firmest pillar of government. But if democracy is for sale and there is no accountability as a result of this video, it doesn't matter who is elected. Our notion of freedom is all just an illusion.
All right, that's the James O'Keefe report. The full report is up on his X page right now. That's just a little bit of a snippet of it. But you know what? It's got people responding. People like Gavin Newsom offered his statement on the report that was just released by O'Keefe. The alleged activity is a felony in California, says the governor. Anyone caught engaging in activity should be investigated and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Of course, of course. Now we'll see if there's any type of movement on this, of course. We'll keep our eye to it. But again, this is what's been going on in California. We've known this. Those NGOs are obviously very, very corrupt. They're doing everything that they can to exploit the system. And of course, this is one of their many ways of doing just that. We'll keep our eye to it. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Since we're talking about DOJ and potential charges, let's just talk about AG Pam Bondi for a second, because the Attorney General has just been subpoenaed to appear in front of the House Oversight Committee regarding her handling of, get this, the Epstein files. In a cover letter accompanied by a subpoena released on Tuesday by Chairman James Comer, they're outlining that Bondi must testify regarding possible mismanagement of the federal government's investigation into Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, again, that's obviously going to be very, very heated, and it's expected to happen on April 14th, which should be a good one, focusing on DOJ's actions and the transparency laws and why there were so many F-ups when it comes to, you know, releasing the file that they were supposed to do. So, again, one of the many things that are happening that we'll keep our eye on, of course, but it's really, really interesting because, again, Pam Bondi was the one, and I still will never get over this, who handed those binders over to social media influencers. And I see the people on X who are going after them. They had no idea. And keep in mind, too, there was a leaker in that room who wasn't supposed to be leaking things to me, but did, and sent me what was in the binder immediately, and I posted it before. And this is, keep in mind, when you see this video, okay, they were handed binders and then went outside. Now, again, they didn't need to do all this extra stuff you see here, but Pam Bondi's office, they weren't there for this. Pam Bondi's office handed them these binders as if there was something in them and wanted them to get their photo opportunity. So when they were moving over and they realized that there was a an embargo, so they couldn't talk about the information for 4 hours later, I believe it was. But one of those people was ticked off and sent me the information. And I published that letter. Many of you guys know she wrote a letter to Kash Patel, the FBI director, stating, oh, you guys didn't hand over all the evidence, knowing that there was nothing new in that binder, and still did just that. So phase one of the Epstein files was a total, total flop. And I really hope that when Pam Bondi, April 14th, is sitting down in front of the committee, that she is asked that question, because there was a lot of people in that picture. I know a lot of you guys are fired up over it. You go after the influencers who were in it, but they were fired up. They were pissed off, and they were the ones telling me what was going on behind the scenes. And I brought it straight to you because an embargo on something like that is absolute trash, and Pam Bondi knows just that. So that's one of the many things that Pam Bondi has managed to F up. All right, speaking of that too, let's pivot to the FBI Director Kash Patel, because he's under fire yet again. And this time it has to do with the training that he's giving these FBI agents. Now, many of you know, we reported on this show that he was going to be participating with the UFC in a two-day training session. And, well, it didn't go over too well. Why? Well, because he wore a pair of custom sneakers. These were Nike kicks with several references to his personal brand as he put on Rockstar. Rockstar vibe. This is the Daily Mail kind of taking a little slap at him. They're not real big fans of him. He had the number 9 on his shoes, which apparently is the illusion that he is, well, I mean, sorry, the, cause he's the 9th FBI director. I don't know else about it. That's what they're saying that is. He also had the Punisher skull as well. And, Cash, but K money sign H was apparently on the shoes too. Now, there was an image circulating online, too, of him doing autographs, potentially. Yeah, that's in that, too. I don't even know if I could say potentially. It's pretty obvious what's going on here. It's a headshot of Kash Patel. I don't know if this is normal standard for an FBI director. I know the coins are. I've got a couple of coins behind my on my shelf of members of law enforcement who have given it to me over the years. But I don't know if autographs with your headshot is something that we ask from an FBI director. I hate it when, you know, I won't say the politician's name, but I went to an event, it was a rally, and there was a politician, because I like him a lot, but oh my God, it was so bad. He was going around signing, autographing these signs that everyone had. And this wasn't, I was at Ken Paxton's thing just recently, so I'm just going to say it wasn't Ken Paxton, but it was somebody else. And I'm sitting here going, oh gosh, these people think they're rock stars. How repulsive. Lawmakers tend to think highly of themselves. Apparently, so does Kash Patel. I myself, again, this is the Daily Mail posting this. I believe this was posted on a LinkedIn page. I would want nothing to do with an autographed copy of a headshot of the FBI director. Who hangs it up in their home? Not me. Not me. All right. So obviously Kash Patel's not getting too much of a warm reception from the public these days because of things like that. Let's pivot though. Let's talk about the Save America Act, because as many of you guys know, there's not enough numbers when it comes to passing the Save America Act right now in the Senate supporting just that. But President Trump doesn't care. He wants it pushed through anyway. And he's not going to do anything regarding signing legislation until that is done. I want to play clip 2 for you because Rand Paul's actually weighing in. He has a very interesting perspective. Take a listen.
Talking with Senator Rand Paul. In the Senate, this is the fight is happening with the SAVE Act. Is this, where does it stand currently right now? Because I know there's been a debate over the filibuster.
I think the debate even proceeding over the filibuster, there has been debate over the filibuster, but even before we get to the debate, we're going to have to see if there are 50 votes to get on the bill. If we have 50, then it's a tie vote, 50-50, and the vice president can come in and we can get on the bill. If we don't get to 50, then there's no discussion of a filibuster because you can't break the filibuster or do a talking filibuster if you have 49 votes. So the very first vote will be the big vote. And there's between 3 and 4 who are saying they won't vote for it. I will vote. I'm a co-sponsor of the SAVE Act. I will support the SAVE Act. But there's 3 or 4 who have said they won't. Part of the problem, though, if you want to pass this and if your goal is to pass the citizenship part, is the more narrow the bill, the better chance you would have.
Ah, the more narrow bills are, apparently it's a better chance of passing. I know, and I love Rand Paul. I do think he does great work. But I know that to be false. As many of you guys know, they love to stuff anything possible into these big pieces of legislation, push them through. Now, obviously, if it was just the voting aspect of it, then yes, they would. But why can't we get Democrats to agree not to mutilate children? Don't you think there's something wrong with that? And it's not just Democrats. You heard him there, 3 to 4. Okay, if you just had to think off the top of your heads, what, Murkowski, Mitch McConnell, Tillis, probably, I would assume, or at least the 3 that he's talking about there, individuals who are not willing to support it. Why not throw their names out there? Why? Oh, because you don't want to make them targets. You don't want to put their information out there. I don't care. Put their information out there. These people need to be exposed. If you're not supporting the president's agenda, you need to be exposed. We need to know who is not supporting. And if you have a legitimate stance, why not just go out there and say it? Mitch McConnell and Tillis, obviously, we talk about it all the time. They're not running for re-election, so there's really no skin in the game for them. They already know they're out. So what would be the reason for any of this? The reason is because they don't like President Trump. Tillis obviously just coming back from the World Economic Forum in Davos just a few weeks ago. And while he was there, he did pledge his alliance with the WEF. So obviously everything President Trump does, well, not everything, but the majority of things he does are in fact against the World Economic Forum's way of doing things. And so Tillis is going to stonewall the president's agenda. And it's very, very likely that it will actually work. Now, again, if the president wants to make it a single topic and just put the voter ID on there, then okay, that's one thing. But then why can't we get, I mean, it's a serious question. Why can't we get Democrats to actually go out there and say mutilating children is horrible and we shouldn't be participating in it? The profit margins are insane. And that's the reason why they continue to push all of this. This is cruelty. This is evil. This is evil. Speaking of evil, I want to get to this. There was just a judge who ruled that Carrie Lake's dismantling of the Voice of America, well, apparently they're not allowing it to fly. They're saying that she must restore over 1,000 employees put on leave a year ago. Again, the judge over there, Judge Lamberth, is saying that Carrie Lake's thumbed her nose at a legal requirement set by Congress. So, again, this is just another rogue judge going out there. We talk about these rogue judges all the time. We have another rogue judge out there trying to stop Carrie Lake from running what she's supposed to be running, which is the Voice of America. She wanted to downsize it. Obviously, that is within her rights. So just one of the many layers to all of this. Again, this ruling coming in just yesterday. It's very likely going to be challenged because, you know, the Trump administration's not going to give up on that anytime soon. And so we got that coming up. All right. So we got that. I'll keep updating you guys on the latest, what's going on all around the world. Most importantly, though, I wanted to remind our audience that we are, in fact, going to have, in just about 5 minutes, Congressman Andy Ogles joining the show. Now, Congressman Ogles is an incredible congressman fighting the good fight, and it actually has a lot of people fired up, those who hate this push to end the Islamification going on throughout this country. Well, Andy Ogles doesn't care. He's not backing down. He doesn't care if the Muslim Brotherhood or any other groups come after him and try their very best to target him. He's not letting up on the subject matter. And there's actually a refreshing group of individuals not letting up on the subject matter either. I got to give credit when credit's due. You know, I'm a critic of, I've been very critical in the past of Chip Roy, but this is a good one. Both him and Keith Stealth, we had on the program, they've put together the Sharia Free America Caucus. They've actually now just gotten 55 members to agree to join. So 55 members. If you want to just, I would actually just write Corey Mills off of that, given the fact that he was married off to his first Iranian wife by someone who had strong ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. So we could just say 54 for the time being, and I probably wouldn't let him into any of the meetings. But folks, this is really an impressive number, 55. 55. What does that tell me? Well, that tells me that we're normalizing the discussion about the Islamification throughout this country, and that members of Congress are feeling emboldened if they get together and they make these groups to speak out about this. So this is massive. This is massive. So good on Chip Roy. Good on Keith Stealth. This is what we need. We need to get ahead of this before it becomes a massive, massive issue. And we do have a massive issue on our hands. All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have iodine. Again, if you're a VIP member, you get it for 50% off. So stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. And we've also added more America Supply Apparel Collection. Now, that is also up on the website right now. So there's more items that you probably haven't seen yet. They just hit the website right now. So stop what you're doing. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and check it out. Of course, we've got so much happening. And so if you want to support our work, this is the best way to do just that. If you haven't downloaded the app, I will remind you that we have the app that you guys can download to stay in touch with us with whatever our next project is. It's alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. Head on over right now and download that app. Make sure you stay in touch with us. All right, folks. Andy Ogles joining us in just a moment.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die.
You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customer 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you so much for your support.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is The American Journal with Brianna Morello, live streaming on band.video next around the globe.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. It looks like Mark Wayne Mullen, his Senate confirmation hearing has just begun. Again, that was expected to begin at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. We're keeping our eye to it, though. If something does happen that we think is worthy of your attention, we'll bring you to that, because we're also getting ready for the Tulsi Gabbard hearing that's also going on later today. Now, we were expected to hear from Gabbard directly addressing the Joe Kent resignation letter that dropped yesterday. And so once she provides us with that opening statement, we'll go straight to that. Again, that will start in probably about 30 minutes. So we're keeping our eye on a lot that's going on right now in the Senate. But speaking of keeping our eye on a lot that's going on right now, as many of you guys know, I warn you on this show that FISA is up for renewal in April. And so this is something that we should be all talking about, but sadly, I don't think many people are. But there's a couple of really key people who I think are some of our top fighters who are doing just that. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna is addressing that, the FISA issue, and she's saying that Speaker Mike Johnson is wasting his time on a clean extension of FISA, because that's what he's advocating for as well, if we do not pass the Save America Act, because her and her colleagues will vote it down until the Save America Act is pushed through. And it's not just Luna, who's also saying, no, we're not voting on this. It's also Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert makes a great case, and this is why I appreciate this dearly, because every time FISA is up for renewal, we're constantly told next time we'll make the corrections so the government can't overreach and we'll end those warrantless spying aspects to FISA that allow the government to spy on American citizens. Well, Boebert saying, no, we're done with this. How about no, is what she said. Last time we were forced to pass FISA, it was attached to a bill for troops, and I was promised next time we would end warrantless spying on Americans. Get FISA right before it comes to the floor. That's the message from Lauren Boebert. Now, Chairman Jim Jordan is also apparently weighing in on FISA. And I had to run this and check it because this was the mainstream media reporting this. And I did reach out to his team and they confirmed that this was true. That Chairman Jim Jordan says he now is in favor of a clean extension of FISA. Yeah, you heard that. This is a man who obviously knows a lot that how and all the FISA abuses that have happened and has spoken out on the issue. So this was quite concerning. And I wanted to make sure before we went out there and told you about it that we got it verified. And I did verify it with a member of his office telling me that that, in fact, is true. It's all very interesting. All very interesting. Joining me to discuss is Congressman Andy Ogles. He's doing a great job fighting for those in Tennessee right now and trying to block the Islamification that's going on right now throughout our country. And he's one of the very brave individuals speaking out on the matter. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Congressman, I wanted to get your take in regards to the FISA battle, because this is a big one. You know, so many members were told the first time around, or the last time around, I should say, that FISA was going to be fixed. You just had to wait and you guys would do it at a later time. But the main issue here is even the president was a victim to FISA when FISA was used to illegally spy on members of his campaign. So here we have certain members, some very high up Republicans saying that they support the clean extension of FISA right now, that being Speaker Mike Johnson and Chairman Jim Jordan. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, let's look at the facts. We know that the FBI spied on Americans. Quite frankly, we know that the Justice Department spied on members of Congress, including myself. And so I'm not convinced that there are enough safeguards in place. And so the issue is like, well, you know, we love President Trump. We love the DOJ under President Trump. But what happens if and when the administration changes? What happens if you have a changeover? What happens if you have a rogue agent or individual within that infrastructure that's abusing the system as it is? And we know that happened. You had individuals who were spying on their girlfriends, for Pete's sake. So look, there's things in this bill that have to be fixed. I've been outspoken. Ana Paulina Luna has been outspoken. And we don't feel confident that this is going to protect Americans. Quite frankly, if they can spy on members of Congress, they can spy on you.
Yeah, and that's what's so concerning in all of this, too, because we'd expect that there would be some outrage given the fact that this was utilized against Republicans. And it's not just that. There should be outrage across the aisle, too, because, you know, back in 2020 during the BLM riots, there were actually Black Lives Matter activists who were also victims of FISA as well, but they were American citizens. So this should be something that we could bridge across the aisle and to get going. Do you have any Democrat colleagues who are outspoken on the matter as well, hoping to possibly fix those issues with FISA?
Not that I've seen or spoken to specifically, but hopefully there are. I think this should, like you said, this should be a bipartisan issue. This isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. This isn't a black or white issue. This is an American issue. The government should not be able to spy on you without a warrant. And again, in the Constitution, not to get all nerdy, there's the speech and debate clause that says the executive branch, the judiciary, cannot spy on members of Congress. They willingly spied on members of Congress, defying the United States Constitution. So if they're willing to do that, they're willing to spy on you. And so we've got to fix this so it's not ever weaponized again. whether it's Republicans, whether it's Democrats, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, you have a constitution that protects you. And right now, it can be abused because of FISA.
Yeah, and that's the big concern here. And I think everyone needs to really pay attention to this one. I keep putting on everyone's radar because I don't think most Americans are aware there's so much going on in the news cycle that FISA is even up for renewal, but this should be a big one for us. Would you support pushing it through if the speaker does want this pushed through, even if the Save America Act isn't yet voted in the Senate?
Until I can be convinced that Americans, there are safeguards in place that will protect Americans, I'm a hard no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear, Congressman. All right. I want to pivot a little bit because you're one of my favorite when it comes to speaking out on the Islamification that's going on throughout this country. Not many people are bold enough to do just that. And you're actually facing potential censorship, a vote that could actually be taking place very soon. What's your take on this? Because again, you're speaking truth to power right now. And there's a lot of people in this country that don't want us addressing the Islamification that's going on right now. I've covered stories in Tennessee and Texas and Florida and even in Alabama, which I know many people don't even expect to be at risk of all of this, but they're buying up churches throughout this country and turning them into mosques, and they're describing it internally as conquering the West. What do you make of this, the efforts to go after you and try to censure you?
Well, I mean, this is what the radical left does. If you're outspoken, if you speak truth, what do? They label you and they call you a name. But let's just look at the facts. Like, this is a brochure that is passed out in mosques all over this country, and it talks and it justifies violence. Here in America, in the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks, we've seen 4 terror attacks. You had the shooting in Virginia, the shooting in Texas, the car attack in Michigan, and the bomb throwing in New York. And as of this morning, because I checked, not a single mosque in the United States of America condemned the violence, condemned those attackers. And so you know what? Their silence speaks loudly. So I invite anyone to join me in this conversation to talk about peace, to talk about solutions that, you know, again, let's talk about the radicalization that we've seen across Europe and the increase in crime that we've seen in London and Paris because of that, the Islamists that have invaded that country. But again, the fact, we've had 4 terror attacks. And to my knowledge, not a single mosque in this country has condemned the violence. Look, if some conservative Christian were to attack someone, whether it's the abortion issue or whether it's faith, you and I would condemn it and say that's not allowed. That's not the right way to move forward. But again, not a single mosque has condemned those terrorists.
Yeah. And, you know, Congressman, what's also really concerning is there was one FBI field office, I believe this was one in Virginia, who did detail specifically how Islam was the motive in the terror attack that took place there. And I was very happy about that. But we're watching as there's a lot of people trying to hinder the fact that the other 3 terror attacks that took place were related to Islam. I remember, I mean, I'm here in Texas. We're here in Austin, Texas. And after that terror attack that took place at that bar happened, you know, the individual was wearing a Property of Allah shirt and had the Iranian flag under that hoodie. And we're listening to local officials telling us we still don't know motive yet, while showing us these images and while these images are being pushed out and leaked to members of the media. I mean, there's a massive issue with law enforcement's lack of transparency and being transparent and saying, hey, listen, this is related to Islam. This is related to those we brought in from the Middle East who hate our country, but yet we've imported them into our country. Why do you think law enforcement agencies are just so fearful of going out there and specifically saying what the motive is when it's related to Islam?
Well, because the left-wing media, like they've done to media, immediately starts calling you names. Look, if you had some redneck in a Confederate T-shirt commit a crime, the media is happy to point that out. But if you have a guy who literally says, you know, something along the lines that indicates that they're a radical Islamist, then they're afraid to talk about it. I mean, come on, let's just report the news. Report the news. Yeah. We've had 4 terror attacks. 4 terror attacks in 3 weeks, and not a single mosque has stood up, has had the courage to join me and say, enough with the violence, enough with the radicalization. This is America and America first. I will talk to anyone about peace. I will talk to anyone about how great our country is. But you've got to want to be here. You've got to want to love this country. Otherwise, it's time for you to go.
Yeah. And Congressman, that's something that you're focused on too. And by the way, for our audience, Back in January of 2025 on New Year's Day, that terror attack that took place in New Orleans, this was an individual who was apparently attending a mosque in Houston prior to the attack. I mean, I remember going to that mosque's Facebook page to look to see what they were putting out there for their members. And they put out like a warning not to talk to any federal agents like the FBI or and such. So, I mean, that was their take for that horrific terror attack that was carried out in the streets of New Orleans on New Year's Day. And it's just so devastating that this is what goes on in our country, that we don't call out these leaders, these so-called religious leaders. I know that's what they, you know, say that they are, but if they truly were, they'd want their people to not be committing acts like this, and we don't really hear from them. But you're really focused on making sure that we go out there, we get rid of, I always say it's like purging a lot of the individuals who were able to get in through our immigration system. Mm-hmm. You're looking and you're aiming to get a lot of these key people out. Here in Plano, Texas, too, we have a major issue with abuse regarding H-1B visas as well. That's it's right. Not going to skilled workers, as we saw Sarah Gonzalez post about. It's going to individuals who are literally selling access to foreigners to obtain these H-1B visas to get into the United States. So it's obviously very concerning. Mm-hmm. But can you tell us a little bit about the bill that you've recently put up to kind of crunch down on the immigration-related issue to those who are taking advantage of the system?
Well, not to get too far in the weeds, I have the Assimilation Act, which goes back and repeals the 1965 Hart-Celler Act. And so what is that? Well, it allowed for the invasion that's taken place over the last, you know, 50, 60 years. And so when you hear words like chain migration, when you hear words like the H-1B visa scam, that all goes back to the Hart-Celler Act. And so what my bill does is it repeals that and it gets back to common sense. Look, if you want to come to this country, there's a provision in this bill. You have to show that you have a marketable skill, that you have the means to provide for yourself so that you don't end up on welfare. Whereas 60% of the Afghanis that have come here to the United States are on welfare. You look at, you know, 80%, 78, 80% of the Somalis that are here in this country are on welfare. No, come here, pick up a hammer, go to work, be a part of our community, contribute. And so my bill fixes that. It also allows us to look at your social character. So are you a criminal? What we've seen over the last 20, 30, 40 years is that individuals will have criminal records in Mexico or Central or South America. We're talking about murderers, rapists, violent assaults. You know what happens when they come here? They murder, they rape, and violent assaults. And my bill will allow us to make sure those people never come to this country. If you're affiliated with a gang like MS-13 or Trinidad, some other violent group, you cannot come into this country. But again, those are the type of things that Americans want. That's an 80-20 issue, meaning 80% of Americans, Republican, Democrat, black, white, man, woman, it doesn't matter. They want to know that the person or persons that are coming here actually want to be here, that they're not going to kill them. That's a reasonable expectation. My bill fixes that.
Yeah, well, we're excited to see it and hope that moves forward on that front. But there's a lot of interesting things that are happening. You know, I remember when we first started covering the Islam issue throughout the country and the sexual assaults that were happening throughout Europe, there was a lot of people who were unwilling, politicians too, who were unwilling to have the conversation. And obviously, it's a very controversial one. But I'm very proud of what's going on right now in the House because two individuals, obviously Congressman Self and Congressman Chip Roy, have put together the Sharia Free America Caucus, which has now officially gained 55 members. I mean, the fact that we have been able to gather 55 members is massive. I was talking to Tommy Robinson about this, who's in D.C., and he's obviously in the U.K. He's on the ground meeting with all of these members, and he's just so shocked that here in the United States we're having these open conversations because it's something that they can't do over in the mm-hmm. U.K. How proud are you of your fellow colleagues for joining this caucus and speaking out against this issue?
Well, there was obviously Congressman Self and Roy started it. I was one of the original members as well. And look, that being said, is we shouldn't have to have this conversation. We have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. We have state constitutions. This kind of nonsense is not allowed. But because of the state of play, because of this, you know, can't we all just get along type of activity, we're having to have this conversation. And that's fine because we can look at Europe. You can look at London. You can look at Paris. Look, you're more likely to go to jail for posting something on social media in the UK than you are for assaulting or, quite frankly, raping someone. And so This is absolute nonsense. We have a constitution and we have laws to protect everyone, regardless race, color, or creed, right? Whether you're Christian, atheist, Jew, or Muslim, we have laws that protect everyone. Justice is blind. And once you introduce another set of rules like Sharia into a country, it undermines that country. I will not stand for it. Myself and the other 54 colleagues, we will not stand for it. And I think you'll see our numbers continue to grow as we have this important, conversation about the radical Islamists that are trying to get into this country. And quite frankly, many who are already here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an important subject that needs to be spoken about. So I'm excited for this. I also want to pivot for a second here because, this I'm also excited about. EpiPens are very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if folks at home get it. I mean, I have an allergy, a food allergy. And when I had to purchase an EpiPen for the very first time, I was completely shocked at the receipt, the bill that was sent over to my insurance company. It's very, very pricey. So you're now urging RFK Jr. to add the EpiPens and nasal sprays to Trump RX, that program that's supposed to be making a lot of these prescription drugs more affordable for Americans. I just want to kind of give you the floor to make your case to RFK Jr.
Well, look, this is a life-saving type of device, medicine, quite frankly. And look, and I don't want to be callous, but we give out Narcan free to druggies and junkheads day in and day out. Why? Because it's life-saving. We're putting the person over the price. And all I'm saying is when you consider the number of kids who have food allergies, let's put the child, the person over the price. And because if we put it on Trump RX, it'll reduce the price of the EpiPens for hardworking Americans. And we'll make sure that those children can get treated when moments matter, seconds matter. And there should be no reason why a child doesn't have an EpiPen or access to an EpiPen.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the scariest moments too when you find that out the hard way. I know I did. And thankfully I was near a hospital, so I was okay. But, making sure that people have easy access and affordable access to EpiPens is something I think we could all get behind. Congressman Ogles, thank you for joining us today. I know you're doing an incredible job and getting a lot of pushback for all of the things you say, but they are true. And, this is how we start the conversation. So we greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Congressman Andy Ogles joining us today, and it's an honor, of course, to have him on the program. So we're thankful for just that. All right. I want to pivot a little bit. We're watching right now as the Senate confirmation hearing is going on right now for President Trump's DHS nomination. As many of you guys know, that is Senator Mullen. We're keeping our eye to that. We'll bring it to you in just a little bit. We're also keeping our eye on Tulsi Gabbard, who's also expected to testify later today. And you could bet that she's going to be asked about Joe Kent and that resignation letter. And we look forward to hearing from the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, of course. It's going to be a good one, I could assume. So we'll bring it to you when the opening statements begin on that issue, of course. And she is speaking. Let me just grab that one. She is speaking in front of the Senate Intel Committee. And so that is starting in just a few moments. There was a story that I actually saw today, and I wanted to make sure it was on your radar. It's actually kind of disturbing. So if you have a kid in the room, maybe for the next 5 minutes, just have them maybe put this on mute temporarily. Why? Well, because this is something you need to know about. I didn't know about this until maybe a year ago. I was having people over my house and we were talking and one of my friends threw it out there, this story. And, my Jewish friend said, no, that's not true. That's not true. And that's anti-Semitic if you say that, but it is true. And what am I talking about here? Well, I'm talking about, and please excuse me, because this is going to sound very graphic, but this is, you have to tell the truth. A 2-week-old baby was hospitalized in Wolfson Medical Center, that's here in this country, by the way, with severe herpes infection after contracting the virus during a Jewish ritual circumcision. Now, this is something that goes on and it's vile, but after the circumcision, apparently the rabbis are doing an oral suction afterwards. Now, listen, you guys know I cover sexual assault cases. I cover them extensively and we cover it when it's Muslims, when it happens here in the United States. I mean, we cover it abroad, but you cannot sit here and see a story like this and not call it out. Doctors found this virus. Apparently it had entered into this 2-week-old baby's nervous system. It's a life-threatening condition for newborns who have immune systems that are not yet fully developed. So the fact that we're still allowing people to do, like the fact that we're even like talking, we're talking about the genitals of babies and then these individuals using suction with their mouths. It is infuriating. It's been going on for years now. This was actually one of the articles that my friend brought up when they were having a debate in my home. And he's like, it's not a conspiracy. It's actually happening. And it is actually happening because this story, again, this is just today, March 18th. This was put out there this morning. The baby was rushed to the hospital after developing concerning lesions in circumcision areas. I mean, the individuals who are doing this too, the entire practice is vile. The entire practice to me is pedophilia. You could sit there and say, oh, it's a religious thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. When the Muslims say, oh, it's acceptable to marry underage girls, I say the same exact thing. No, it is not. No, it is not. It's not acceptable to rape 9-year-olds. It's not acceptable to rape 13-year-olds. It is not acceptable. It is not acceptable. So to sit here and pretend like this isn't going on is absolute garbage. So you have to call it out when you can. And this is a story that just dropped. Again, I could promise you that I was absolutely appalled. I know there's a lot of people when I posted the story are angry. Oh, Brianna, don't talk about this. No, you actually have to talk about this because we have a problem right now where we have individuals who think that you should be selective and when you call out sexual abuse of children. No, I'm going to call it out across the board. There's no religion that warrants performing oral sex on a child, a newborn baby. It's absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. The parents should be arrested for allowing this. The rabbi, which I'm assuming it was a rabbi that was involved in this, should be arrested as well. Should be thrown in prison for the rest of his life. Why? Because he gave this baby herpes. How do you not know that you have a lesion in your mouth? It's absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. The baby did test positive for herpes, indicating the infection was in their central nervous system. This is what's going on. You need to send this article to everyone. We need to have a normal discussion about these issues without being slandered as anti-Semitic, just to mention these things. That is absolutely disgusting, and these people belong in prison. There's no other way to see it. All right, folks, we got more happening in just a little bit. Rob Manis is going to be joining the show. We got a lot to sound off with him on. I've got a lot to chat with him about because, I mean, obviously that Kent letter yesterday was insane. We broke it to you live on air after he released it in a tweet. But, you know, I want to kind of hear the angle for those who have experience with this type of material. Now, the White House is disputing whether or not he was even involved in any of the classified information that was being put forward in regards to Iran. They're saying, a lot of people are saying he wasn't. President Trump yesterday distancing himself because he didn't want, obviously he doesn't want any type of credit. He probably will want to go after Kent. The president's comment is actually quite jarring, and the community notes actually fact-checked the president as well. So it's a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating because obviously President Trump is saying, I always thought he was weak on security, is the quote he gave us yesterday. But you nominated him, Mr. President. That was your guy. Now all of a sudden he's weak on security. It's quite strange. We'll bring you the latest on that as well. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. So many incredible items. We actually just added new apparel to the website. So stop what you're doing. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up America Supply apparel collection. New items added over at thealexjonesstore.com. Remember, every time you make a purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us with our next operation. As many of you guys know, I'm going to be working with the team to launch that pretty soon, so support us over at thealexjonesstore.com.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, You should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandersport.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexandersport.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandersport.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Right now, I want to take you to the Senate. That's because Mullen, who's up right now for his confirmation to become the DHS secretary, is going back and forth with Rand Paul a bit. Now, as many of you guys know, you might not know, actually, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen actually justified the violence that was committed against Rand Paul, was trying to justify it, at least, when Rand Paul was attacked by one of his left-leaning neighbors. He was assaulted. I believe he had ribs broken. It was a very violent attack. And so Rand Paul now grilling him. Let's see if he mentions the prior comments made by Mullen. Take a listen.
It's the standard practice of this committee for the chairman to ask nominees the following question. Do you agree without reservation to comply with any request or summons to appear or testify before any duly constituted committee of Congress if you're confirmed?
I do.
We'll now proceed to 7 minutes of questioning. The record should show, and I think will show, a lack of contrition, no apology, and no regrets for your support. You completely understand the violence that was perpetrated on me. You're unrepentant. The only thing you quibble about is whether I met you somehow when you were in the House. I don't think we ever met when you were in the House. And this idea that the only thing you're upset about is not that you were for violence. What you're upset about is that I called you a liar because you said it to my face. It's really more about this machismo that you have. When in Oklahoma the media asked you about the refugee welfare programs, the programs you voted to continue funding, it was this whole idea that you were going to transfer it because you were uncomfortable, your anger, low impulse control, you know, causes you to then go after and decide that you're going to go after me as well. And so you say you completely understood that I was assaulted from behind, had six ribs broken and part of my lung removed, and that was just fine. That's something that you, I guess, approve of as far as resolution of political problems. When I talked to you on the privately on the phone, there was no apology. You just said, well, we can let our political difference, you know, go by. And you said a few minutes ago, we can just set it aside. Well, political differences we can. But when you say that you agree with a felon, a Trump-hating felon who attacked me, somehow you think I'm just going to set that aside? Oh, it's no big deal. You know, I lay in pain for 2 months, had six ribs broken, three of them separated, grinding upon bone on bone for months, had part of my lung removed. And you think that's great and to be extolled? I mean, the sheer lack of any kind of self-awareness that you're going to be leading thousands of men and women who will be have the use of force, and there's been great questions in our country about how that will be used, and you think a violent attack is just fine. So I guess my first question is, do you think that justifying that kind of violence sets a good example for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I didn't know the extent of your damage. When the phone call was made, I made it to you, and I tried to talk to you. You didn't engage at all. In fact, you said, get your paperwork in. It's got to be three days in between.
You offer no apology.
Sir?
And you offer no apology today and no regrets. Haven't heard the word apologize, haven't heard the word regret, haven't heard I misspoke and it was heated and I made a mistake.
Actually,
haven't heard any of those words.
Sir, actually, it wasn't heated. and I'm not apologizing for pointing out your character.
Good. So you're jolly well fine, and you want the American public and the people up here to vote that may or may not vote for you to know that you supported the felonious, violent attack on me from behind.
I did not say I supported it. I said I understood it. There's a difference.
That means you really didn't approve of it, just completely understand it. What do you think most people would interpret completely understand to be support for or a condemnation of the violence?
Sir, as I said, we can have our differences. It's not going to keep me from doing my job as Secretary of Homeland Security. I'm going to secure Kentucky and take care of Kentucky
If this were a one-off, it would be one thing. If you just disliked me so much that you approved of violence against me, people could just write it off. Well, maybe they hate each other. But really, there's a pattern of this. Let's go ahead and roll the tape.
All right, guys, we're going to hit the pause button on this. We're up against a hard commercial break. But when we get back, we'll play the rest of that tape because I think this is really important for the American people to see. Also, Rob Madness joining the show in just a moment, right after we play that for you. So don't go anywhere. Things are getting heated.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheOptionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheOptionStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to The American Journal. Things are getting heated right now during Senator Mullen's testimony. It's for his confirmation hearing to potentially become the next DHS secretary. Now, him and Rand Paul are kind of having a little bit of a tense exchange, some might say. Rand Paul was assaulted by a crazy neighbor. It was a very violent assault. We told you about this before. It broke several ribs of his. He had to have a partial portion of his lung removed. Well, Senator Mullen actually didn't defend him publicly, but instead actually justified the violence that was used against Rand Paul. And we figured that this was going to come up because Rand Paul is the chair of this committee, but man, oh man, did it just come up at the very couple of seconds into the committee starting the confirmation hearing. Let's take a listen because Rand Paul just tossed it to a soundbite that he's put together of all of the things Mullen has said. So let's listen in.
You know where to find me. Any place, anytime, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. You want to run your mouth? We can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every problem?
No. Sit down. Sit down.
Look at you.
You're a United States Senator.
Sit down. Active.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
All right.
Can I respond?
Hold it.
If he got up too, would you have gone at it? Right there in the hearing room?
I would have probably jumped over the dais at that point. You have to be called out on it. If not, this guy continues to get away with this stuff. And it's just, you know, it's silly, it's stupid, but every now and then you need to get punched in the face.
Well, go back to the 1800s and 1700s. They used to have canines.
And duels. And they used to have duels.
Yeah. Right. And there's a way that men used to settle their differences. I ignored him four times prior to that. And people say, yes, you're supposed to ignore it. Well, you know, I'm not a very good Christian. I try to be a good Christian, and I know people say you're supposed to turn the other cheek. I prefer the David method.
But yeah. We need to move from an almost.
And by the way, I'm not afraid of biting. I will bite.
Biting?
I'm in a fight. I'm going to bite. I'll do anything. I mean, I'm not above it, and I don't care where I bite. By the way, it just is going to be a bite.
In hindsight, any regrets?
No, I really don't.
So no regrets. In fact, even after your anger had cooled, you were still bragging that if he'd only been brave enough to stand up, you'd have jumped over the dais and taught him a lesson, because that's how men should settle their differences. Do you think fighting as a resolution for political differences a good example for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol?
As you can notice over my shoulder here is my good friend Sean O'Brien. Both of us have had conversations. Both of us have shaken hands. And both of us agreed we could have done things different. Sean is someone that has become a close friend. We talk all the time. I've been on his podcast. We've talked through this. That's how you handle your differences. Not like this, Chairman.
I'm glad you guys are friends now and that you've reconciled. But really, it doesn't get to the real point whether or not you think violence is the way we settle things. In the days after the fight, you said, and I quote, sometimes people just need to be punched in the face. Is that still your opinion, that political disputes can sometimes and often only be resolved by violence?
No, I don't always agree with that. I don't believe in political violence. I've made that very clear. But sometimes people do need, theoretically speaking, that's, sir, I get it. It's about character assassination for you. That's the way this game is played. I understand it. And you are making this about you, which is fine, but that doesn't keep me as Secretary of Homeland Security.
Character assassination when you were the one lauding the assault. Who do you think started that character assassination? I'm just repeating what you have done in character assassination. I'm repeating your support for the assault. So that's somehow something I started?
No, sir. What I'm saying is you're adding a lot to it.
In the days after the fight, you did many interviews in which you justified the violence as historically justified by precedents, such as caning and dueling. Is it today your opinion that the caning of Charles Sumner was not only justified, but argues still for resolving our political differences with violence?
What I was simply pointing out is some of the rules that still apply to this body.
All right, guys, I'm going to step in on this because it's going to be a little bit of a back and forth. We'll keep bringing it to you, though, of course, throughout the show as things get a little heated. But we figured that was going to be a big one, a big moment for Mullen. And I don't know if he really handled it the best way possible, but he still was not offering his apologies to the chairman of the committee. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what to make of that, but we'll pivot for a second here because tensions are very high in Washington, D.C., and it's not just for the senator's confirmation hearing potentially to be leading DHS. It's also someone who is working close to the, who's the director of National Intelligence Center, Joe Kent. Yesterday we reported that Joe Kent had just released a resignation letter. Resignation letter apparently was sent over to President Trump. It outlined how he was leaving his position immediately because he wasn't happy with the war in Iran. Now, President Trump responded to that resignation letter in clip five. Take a listen.
Your director of national counterterrorism, Joe Kent, he just resigned today. He said he can't support your conflict with Iran. What's your reaction to that? And did you?
Well, I read his statement. I always thought he was a nice guy, but I always thought he was weak on security, very weak on security. I didn't know him well, but I thought he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But when I read his statement, I realized that it's a good thing that he's out because he said that Iran was not a threat. Iran was a threat. Every country realized what a threat Iran was. The question is whether or not they wanted to do something about it. And many people, many of the greatest military scholars are saying for years that presidents should have taken out Iran because they wanted a nuclear weapon. They were, if we didn't do the attack, or if I'll go a step further, if I didn't terminate the Iran nuclear deal given to us, one of the worst deals ever made, by Barack Hussein Obama. Remember when they sent Boeing 757s over there? Loaded with cash. Hundreds of millions of dollars. You would have been very happy. This was a wonderful. They sent hundreds of millions. People forget that. Does anybody remember? Right? You remember. Hundreds of millions of dollars in a Boeing 757. I think they had two of them. Loaded. They took the seats out. And they put cash. And it was so much that there wasn't a bank in Virginia, Maryland, or D.C. that had any money left. They stripped them of all their money, put it into place, sent it to Iran, almost as ransom. That's not going to happen with Trump. And nobody ever did anything about it. Nobody ever said anything about it. Can you imagine if I did that? So they've been a threat for a long time. But they've really been a threat if I didn't terminate Obama's horrible deal that he made, the Iran nuclear deal, you would have had a nuclear war 4 years ago. You would have had nuclear holocaust, and you would have had it again if we didn't bomb the site. So when somebody is working with us that says they didn't think Iran was a threat, we don't want those people because, and there are some people, I guess, that would say that, but they're not smart people or they're not savvy people.
All right. So just keep in mind, the president did nominate Joe Kent for his position. So when he says he's weak on security, and he's always thought that, that's a little concerning. Joining me to discuss is Colonel Rob Madness. He is someone with a lot of experience in the issue. He spent 32 years in the Air Force as a combat vet, and we're honored to have him back on the program today. Rob, thank you for being here, and thank you for standing by as we continue to dive into the several hearings that are going on right now in the Senate. But this is a big one. Yesterday when we saw this letter get dropped on Twitter, I mean, my eyes were just like, he put all this in a resignation letter. Now, there's reports that on Monday, both Kent and Gabbard met with the vice president. And the vice president, according to this report, did in fact tell him, like, hey, maybe you should be a little bit more respectful in your resignation letter, when Kent did slide this over to the VP. What was your reaction to the letter itself? Do you think it was respectful of the president?
I have to tell you, Brianna, as somebody whose PAC, Gator PAC, supported Joe Kent in both of his runs for Congress, and I have interviewed him twice on my show, and what he is saying in the letter is the exact opposite of what he has said for years. And look, I'm not going to character assassinate him. The man's a Gold Star husband. He's got 11 combat tours himself. He served this country. But I am going to question his judgment. And I am as shocked as you are. When I saw this letter drop, you know, there's a way to do this stuff, especially when you're in a circumstance where the United States is conducting an industrial scale war against the country that you're mentioning in your resignation letter. And this was not it. So I supported Joe in his nomination for the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. But I am questioning all of that at this point. Look, we've had four Islamic terrorist attacks, one of them directly linked to Hezbollah, the one against the kid's school in Michigan, the attempt where the terrorist was fortunately killed by private security guards before he could blow his vehicle up and kill a bunch of kids with his AR. So this is a problem that goes far beyond just Joe Kent. He's given our enemies a tool and a set of tools to use against us in the propaganda part of the war, and he's now enabled the left and the media in the left to question the judgment of initiating the combat operation altogether because of what he said in that letter. Very, very poor judgment. I'm shocked, surprised, saddened. But most of all, I'm very concerned about the lack of leadership at the National Counterterrorism Center and his view on whether Iran was an imminent threat is direct bearing on these attacks that we've now seen. What is going on there, and are they doing their job to protect the American people? That should be the number one concern of the director of that facility.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to get to with all of this. Now, also to our audience, I announced it on X. We're expected to hear from Joe Kent directly tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time. He will be appearing on Tucker Carlson's network, sitting down with Tucker, I'm told. So we'll be waiting for that to happen and kind of go through it once that conversation does begin. But there's a lot of reports in the White House officials leaking to the media that Kent was apparently not in on these discussions regarding Iran, that they in fact believe that he was a leaker, and that's the reason why they kind of shunned him from all of these discussions. Do you think that he didn't have, because yesterday when the news broke, I was telling our audience, folks, I mean, he's obviously getting classified information, sees the classified information that this administration tells us they were using to make this decision to strike Iran. So just bear with me. But now the White House is saying that he didn't have access to that information because they believe that he was a leaker. I mean, what do you make of that? Because obviously it's coming from both sides. They're both kind of contradicting one another. How did the American people kind of weigh in on this, knowing that the White House is denying the claims that he even had access to this information? But apparently, I mean, it was his position. How would he not?
That's a great question. And it's I made some calls yesterday when I first saw that being reported on social media to some folks that have been in direct contact with individuals in the White House over the subject. And I found out most disturbingly that apparently he's been denied access to classified information for many, many months now. And it all stems back from the Signalgate issue. He was the acting chief of staff for DNI Gabbard at that time and was her representative in that Signalgate chat That's where this stems back from. So that go back to my NCTC director's job, where I need to be protecting the United States of America at home here domestically from terrorism, and Islamist terrorism has now happened four times in the last few weeks on his watch, and he doesn't have access to classified information. I can't close the loop logically on that, and it makes no sense to me because he can't do his job and his team can't do their job adequately if he doesn't have personal access to classified information. So I'm I'm very concerned. Who is now going to lead the NCTC? We need somebody with a steady hand that has decades of experience of dealing with Islamic terrorism. I haven't heard any names yet. Hopefully they've got somebody lined up really quick, because this is a national emergency from my perspective that this guy didn't have access to classified and he was supposed to be running counterterrorism operations for the entire country. Something doesn't make sense here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any sense. And by the way, Tulsi Gabbard's team, through background discussions with reporters, apparently saying that she was never told to fire Kent, even though there was, just anonymous sources. Nobody wants to put their name on it. But there was leaks coming from the White House saying that apparently he was told to be fired and Tulsi Gabbard didn't do that. But we're keeping our eye right now because Tulsi Gabbard is actually speaking in just a few moments in front of the Senate. It's not just her, too. It's the FBI Director Kash Patel, who's also there to testify. So once she delivers those opening remarks, we'll bring it straight to you. But it's interesting. I want to play this clip, soundbite six, now, because the former FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino actually spoke about this and was trying to detail to the audience specifically what type of access Kent had to classified information. Take a listen.
You're going to see this with Joe Kent in the coming days. Listen, Joe's decorated history of service is beyond reproach, and his sacrifice with his family is just unspeakable. I don't even like to think about
his wife who passed, who was killed.
Yeah, I mean, her name is emblazoned on a plaque in a facility I can't really talk about. And when you read the story there, it's a tough story to read. But, as I've said with other, the sacrifice is beyond reproach. That doesn't mean that this current opinion, is any more fact-based, because it's not. I'm really sorry, Laura. I mean, I read probably a lot more intelligence than he did, because they don't have a law enforcement function, the National Counterterrorism Center. They're an analytical clearinghouse. They're valuable. However, I had access to just about everything. And how you could come to the conclusion that the Israelis did it and there was no imminent threat here? Really? What about the anti-ship ballistic missiles, the drone program, 440 kilograms of 60% enriched nuclear material, their constant death to America chance? I mean, that's called evidence. In some limited circles, we call that, a clue. I mean, I don't know at what point you thought this wasn't an imminent threat after you've read a lot of the stuff I read. And by the way, that's just the open source stuff we can talk about on the air. I promise you, the president, I promise you, has a bevy of material that if he could do the Men in Black thing and erase your mind tomorrow, if he told you right now, you would come to the imminent threat conclusion in a snap.
All right, Rob, I kind of want you to weigh in on this and get your take because, again, I've asked, obviously I do know that Iran is a threat and I want to keep just reminding our audience I don't disagree with that claim. But, this attack was launched while we're dealing with a partial DHS shutdown, while we have known suspected terrorists into our country right now. And when I ran the numbers, I asked DHS for the numbers that have been arrested in regards to how many of these terrorists were released into the country by the Biden regime. Joe Kent threw out a number in December. It was over 18,000 of them. When DHS responded to me, gave me a number of how many have been arrested. I mean, they've only captured 7.8% of those known and suspected terrorists. So when we look at this, I'm wondering, well, why would you launch this attack knowing that they're still here? The White House, the Pentagon saying that they can't tell me what they meant by intimate threat when in regards to all of this because it's classified information that they were dealing with. What do you make of all of this? Because I still have so many question marks in my head.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the classified realm, it's hard to argue with them when they tell you that. And I understand it. So look, I've been having a security clearance for most of my adult life. Since I was a teenager. So I understand that. But, I believe the imminent threat was laid out by Marco Rubio in a answer to a question about how they were building this network of ballistic missile capability to shield their nuclear capability as they continue to refine that and develop it into weapons that could be made into those ballistic missiles. But that's what they were seeing, and unfortunately, there's no other detail than that. But Dan was absolutely right on that. It's totally, it is a complete turnaround for Joe. And again, I'm not attacking his character from the perspective of his combat service or his loss. I get all that. I fully understand it. I support him. But the lack of judgment to put this letter out and hand our enemy in the middle of full-scale combat operations against them is really troubling to me. And then you combine that with the National Counterterrorism Center, and as Dan said, they pull all the information together, and he doesn't have access to classified information. It leads me to believe what I've believed for quite some time now, that our counterterrorism system in the United States under Homeland Security and the DNI is broken. And that is much more than troubling. That's a national emergency in my mind, because the person over the NCTC, as Dan said, is pulling all of the analytics together, and then that gets fed out to the action agencies like the FBI in order to take action. And if we're not arresting those known terrorists, which we've known about the 1,500 or so that came through the Biden era, if we haven't arrested all of them yet, then we've got to get into that apparatus and get that system fixed immediately in order to do that. And somebody has got to take over the NCTC that can work with all the other agencies and pull all that analysis together so we're all on the same page. And I just get the sense by observation and listening to all this that we're not on the same page. And that is an extreme threat to the average, everyday American. Look, a unit at MacDill Air Force Base went FPCON Charlie, Force Protection Condition Charlie, last night. And that is an indicator that they are facing an imminent known terrorist attack on the military installation. And this is happening across the country. So we've got to get our arms around this, and we've got to get somebody in that position very, very quickly that can do this job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope they're able to do just that. You guys, we're watching right now this Senate confirmation hearing. I'm sorry. It's not a confirmation hearing. It is the counterterrorism, hearing that's going on right now. I'll bring you to that in just a little bit. I wanted to ask you, Rob, before you go, the AFD leader, now that's the alternative for Germany, spoke out earlier this morning and was saying, because President Trump was obviously advocating for other countries to help out with their mission between Israel and the United States in Iran. Now she's responding to this, saying Trump is now asking for help for Iran. It suggests that they launched this mission without a clear plan. They should have thought this through earlier, and I would warn against invoking Article 5 of the NATO treaty as well, is what she goes into saying. Obviously, the Americans didn't think about an exit strategy or how this is supposed to continue. What do you make of a statement like that? Because he is asking other countries to step in on this, but I think it's more of the perspective of he's asking for them to help out in regards to transportation, in regards to logistics, oil, obviously trying to make its way through the region as well. And that's what he was asking for. I don't think he was asking for military backup, is he?
Well, he's asking for a coalition to be built to do the escorting using combat vessels in the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf, that type of activity. But that to say that this plan did not take into account the Straits of Hormuz is just ludicrous. Look, I've been doing planning against the country of Iran and the mullahs almost my entire Air Force career in one way or another, from the tactical to the strategic. The Straits of Hormuz is always part of the operation. Now, look, this is industrial scale combat operations. It's a very complex system. The Iranian Mosaic defense system is very complex. That's why you see these rounds fired and then the leadership saying, oh, I'm sorry, our people are just acting on their own because we're not in touch with them, and that's the plan, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very complicated system that they're going after, and they had to follow a certain sequence of events and sequence of targeting, initially at least, in order to get at that system and really disrupt and destroy it so that our folks were not in danger. And as you've seen, there's been no indication that whatsoever of any aircraft being shot down or even being fired upon with anything that's capable of taking them down at this point. But to get back to the Straits of Hormuz, It's just a matter of priorities. It's always been there, part of the target list. It's always been part of the concern. But it's a tough nut to crack. Yeah. The Iranians just have to make a threat, and you can see what happens. And their threat of mining, that's gone away, hasn't it? You haven't seen any indication whatsoever they've been put, even able to put a mine in the water off of a fishing boat. Now yesterday we attacked their underground.
Robert, we're about to hit a hard commercial break. If you want to just stay right there, we'll have you in just a second. Rob Madden joining the show. Folks, we'll be right back in a moment.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. I've been telling you this for decades. They have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customer 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We got our eye right now on the Senate. But Colonel Rob Madness is still with us. And, you know, we had that hard commercial break. I didn't want to cut him off. So I wanted to let him have the floor and complete his thoughts. So, Rob, all you, as you tell our audience regarding the latest in Iran and the United States mission there.
Well, thanks, Brianna, and I appreciate you having me on. I was just going to say that, you know, last night in the last 24 hours anyway, we have destroyed a lot of their underground anti-ship missile firing positions in the Straits of Hormuz, which I was wondering when they were going to bring that into the target flow. But let's talk about the president for a second. You know, I mean, he's put a Truth Social post out, you know, to the effect of, I wonder what, when we finish off the Iranians, if we just leave and let the people that use the oil and the services coming out of the Persian Gulf take responsibility for protecting it. Because quite frankly, the strategic situation for us and a lot of the West has changed, at least for the United States, because we are now becoming energy dominant again and a leading exporter of oil and gas again, like we were under the first President Trump administration. So the strategic calculus is totally different for the United States now. Quite frankly, I've even posited that maybe we should just close the Straits of Hormuz completely and eliminate this reason for being of all these people wringing their hands over the price of oil and those kind of things. Look, I'm willing to pay $5 a gallon for gas in the short term if that's what it takes. But the market will equalize at some point. If it were totally closed and folks would start getting stuff from other places and other parts of the market, will it be hard on Europe? Yeah, I don't know why they're not cooperating. Well, let me tell you why. They've spent decades reducing their navies down to nothing. They couldn't even get three ships into the Red Sea to help against the Houthis when shipping was being attacked by the Houthis. And the one that did show up ended up having to leave early. So that's what I think is going on when the president asked them to do this. He's calling them out and showcasing their lack of ability to defend not only themselves, but the Straits of Hormuz, where they're getting a lot of their energy. So there's a lot more going on here instead of just the Iranians saying they want to close down the Straits of Hormuz, which they have demonstrated they don't really have the capability to do. As a matter of fact, the first two ships that were attacked there were their ships. They did it as a demonstration. There's a lot more to come on this. I think the war is going as well as a war it can be expected to go. The enemy always gets a vote. We have to remember that, Brianna. But the president and his team seem to be operating on all cylinders. And I think we're going to see the right things happen. And we're 3 weeks into this. There's at least 2 weeks left on the original 5-week plan that the president said publicly as what it was. So it could go longer, it could go shorter, but I think they're right on track.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eyes to it. Colonel Rob Madness, thank you for joining the program today, and thank you to your service to this great nation. We greatly appreciate you joining us and giving us your insight on these matters, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. I appreciate y'all covering this.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, we're keeping our eye right now. Tulsi Gabbard's actually speaking. It looks like it's the opening statement. Let's listen in to see what Gabbard has to say.
In recent conflicts, to influence targeting and streamline decision-making, underscoring the risk and likely threats that could manifest on the battlefield. Early developers in quantum computers will give countries an extraordinary technological advantage over others to quickly process national security information and break current encryption methodology used to protect sensitive finance, healthcare, and government information. The global security landscape is volatile and complex, with armed conflict growing more common and posing potential threats against U.S. interests. Strategic competition and regional and smaller powers are becoming more willing to use force to pursue their interests, heightening the risk of conflict. The IC assesses the space domain is becoming increasingly contested, with China and Russia developing counter-space capabilities to challenge U.S. space efforts. The threat of nuclear proliferation and advancing chemical and biological warfare capabilities continues to grow. I'll turn now to our neighborhood in the Western Hemisphere, where flagging economies, high crime rates, pervasive organized crime, migration flows, corruption, narcotics trafficking, all of these present a spectrum of risks to U.S. interests and where strategic competitors seek to gain greater influence in the region. The IC assesses that Latin America and the Caribbean almost certainly will see hot spots of volatility in the coming year. Since Maduro's arrest, the IC assesses a shift in Venezuela's leadership towards cooperating with the U.S. to open its economy, to develop the country's oil and gas extraction capability, and we've seen their movement in releasing political prisoners. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement review in 2026 will likely increase uncertainty in many Latin American countries, especially those that rely on Mexico as an export destination for intermediate goods for manufacture and onward export to the U.S. China, Russia, and Iran are likely seeking to sustain economic, political, and military engagement with Latin America. The IC assesses that China's demand for raw materials is likely to continue to drive its economic outreach, while Russia likely wants to expand its current security and diplomatic ties with Cuba and Nicaragua. The IC assesses that China aims to elevate its own political, economic, military, and technological power to increase its own regional positioning, global influence, to fend off threats to their interests. While there are challenging areas where interests diverge, President Trump's diplomatic engagements with President Xi to work towards U.S. interests have enabled progress where those interests align. The IC assesses that China continues to rapidly modernize its military forces across all domains in pursuit of its goal to achieve world-class status by mid-century. This includes building a force with the aim of being capable of deterring U.S. and allied forces in the region, and to achieve their stated objective of developing the ability to seize Taiwan by force if necessary. However, the IC assesses that China likely prefers to set the conditions for an eventual peaceful reunification with Taiwan short of conflict. The IC assesses that an increasingly confident North Korean regime remains a source of concern regionally and globally. Its weapons of mass destruction, conventional military capabilities, illicit cyber activities, and demonstrated willingness to use asymmetric capabilities poses a threat to U.S. and its allies, particularly South Korea and Japan. North Korea's partnership with Russia is growing, and in 2025, Kim took steps to improve ties with China, still North Korea's most important trading partner and economic benefactor. The IC assesses that North Korea's support for Russia and the war against Ukraine has increased North Korea's capabilities as their forces have gained combat experience in 21st century warfare along with equipment. In 2024, North Korea deployed more than 11,000 troops to Russia to support combat operations in Kursk. Pyongyang continues to develop and expand its strategic weapons programs, including missiles that can evade U.S. and regional missile defenses. It is continuing to work to increase its nuclear warhead stockpile and maintains biological and chemical weapons capabilities. Russia retains the capability to selectively challenge U.S. interests globally by military and non-military means. The IC assesses that the most dangerous threat posed by Russia to the U.S. is the potential of an escalatory spiral in an ongoing conflict such as Ukraine, or a new conflict that led to direct hostilities, including the potential deployment of nuclear weapons. The IC assesses that Putin continues to invest in Russia's defense industrial base, as well as novel capabilities that may pose a greater threat to the U.S. homeland and forces abroad than conventional weapons. Russia has advanced systems, hypersonic missiles, and undersea capabilities designed to negate U.S. military advantage. Moscow also relies on other tools to exert pressure, using gray zone tactics to further its goals and compete below the level of armed conflict. Russia is also building an extensive counter space capabilities to contest U.S. space dominance. Its development of a nuclear counter space weapon poses the greatest single threat to the world's space architecture. During the past year, the IC assesses that Russia has maintained the upper hand in the war against Ukraine. U.S.-led negotiations between Moscow and Kyiv are ongoing. Until such an agreement is met, Moscow is likely to continue fighting a slow war of attrition until they view their objectives have been achieved. In the Middle East, conflict and instability will shape security, political, and economic dynamics in a variety of ways. The IC assesses that Operation Epic Fury is advancing fundamental change in the region that began with Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, and continued with the 12-day war last year, resulting in weakening Iran and its proxies. The IC assesses the regime in Iran appears to be intact but largely degraded due to attacks on its leadership and military capabilities. Its conventional military power projection capabilities have largely been destroyed, leaving limited options. Iran's strategic position has been significantly degraded. The U.S.-led maximum pressure campaign and snapback of European sanctions added additional pressure to an already bleak Iranian economy, resulting in mass protests earlier this year that Tehran suppressed by killing thousands of protesters. Even if the regime remains intact, the IC assesses that internal tensions are likely to increase as Iran's economy worsens. Even so, Iran and its proxies continue to attack U.S. and allied interests in the Middle East. The IC assesses that if a hostile regime survives, it will likely seek to begin a years-long effort to rebuild its military, missiles, and UAV forces. Prior to Operation Epic Fury, the IC assesses Iran was trying to recover from the severe damage to its nuclear infrastructure sustained during the 12-day war, and continued to refuse to comply with its nuclear obligations with the IAEA, refusing them access to key facilities. The IC assesses that China, Russia, and North Korea see the United States as a strategic competitor and potential adversary. Iran has long viewed the U.S. as an adversary and is engaged in active conflict with the U.S. as of today. These four countries, the IC assesses, are likely to continue their selective cooperation with each other, which could bolster their individual capabilities and threats to U.S. interests more broadly. However, currently these relationships are primarily bilateral on selective issues and depend on broader circumstances, divergent sovereign interests, and in some cases, concerns over directly confronting the United States. These factors, the IC assesses, are likely to constrain their relationships. Finally, conflicts on the continent of Africa are likely to persist through 2026 due to poor governance, economic demands, and external support. Tensions continue between Ethiopia and Kenya, which could rapidly accelerate to conflict. Contentious national elections in Somalia could distract the federal government away from counterterrorism actions against al-Shabaab, which continues to conduct terror attacks while providing funding and propaganda support to other elements of al-Qaeda in Yemen. The civil war in Sudan continues even as external negotiations occur. ISIS in West Africa and the Sahel have increased the intensity of their attacks against local security forces, expanding their areas of operation and moving closer to cities with a U.S. presence. The IC assesses that African governments will likely use their wealth in critical minerals to seek partnerships that deliver them meaningful benefit. Concurrent conflicts and crises across the continent will continue to put U.S. citizens at risk and cause further instability. In closing, as leaders of the intelligence community, we remain committed to providing the president and policymakers with timely, unbiased, relevant intelligence to inform decision-making and to ensure the safety, security, and freedom of the American people. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Gabbard.
Step in on this because that was Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence, speaking and giving her opening statement. Now we're going to keep our eye on it because if Joe Kent's name does come up during these hearings, we want to bring that directly to you all at home. Again, the FBI Director, Kash Patel, is also present. And so we'll be keeping our eye on that as it continues to develop. But just a heads up, we will be taking calls at around, I'd say, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. So if you want to jump on the hold lines right now, let's throw that phone number out there for the folks at home who want to join the show and maybe talk about and react to some of the ever-changing topics. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show, of course. That will be the number to call into, 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls. I'm going to try to do it every day this week, but if you called in yesterday, you didn't get through. We'll try it again today. We will try our very best to get through everyone. All right. I saw this clip that was quite interesting. There's a news network out there apparently claiming that they found a Pennsylvania voter who has massive regret for voting for President Trump three times in clip three. Let's take a listen to that.
Let's take a listen to one more woman who we spoke with. If you could say something to President Trump and he was going to hear you right now, what would it be?
You're a worthless pile of shit.
And you voted for him how many times?
Three times. That was my bad. Apparently, I'm an idiot.
All right. So I don't know if that's a real Trump voter. I don't know if anyone would go out there and say that they are an idiot for voting for him. But I know a lot of people, especially if you go to the gas station, you're pretty fired up these days because the president out there just saying, it's the cost we must pay. It's temporary to the burden that's going to be passed on to the American people. But obviously, the cost across the markets when it comes to food costs, the food industry is still high. I know the president says that inflation is down, but is it really? I haven't seen much of a change, especially when I'm sitting there and trying to purchase a steak and it's still significantly higher. We were told that there was going to be an antitrust investigation into the beef industry. Again, nothing coming of that as of yet. And that was months ago. So the reality of it is I think most people feel the burden right now when you go to the pump and you're looking at prices and it's close to $4 here in Texas. And that's absolutely horrifying because I was bragging just a few weeks ago when I was at an Austin gas station and the prices were lower than $2 for a gallon of regular. And so when you sit there and you compare both, it's understandable why you'd find someone who's fired up, of course, for all of this. But I mean, you were paying these prices under the Biden regime. So I wouldn't exactly be so aggressive, but also the president really doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to these midterms because there's no arrest. We're still dealing with the same economic woes that we were dealing with before. I know that they like to put out data and claim that we're not. I still haven't seen anyone see much of an adjustment there. We're just expected to pay up these high, very high costs. And so, yeah, I don't think it's fair to continue to pass on these expenses to the American people. But again, that's what's going on right this second. All right. I want to pivot a little bit because MSNBC, which they're referring to themselves now as MS Now, they put out a new statement regarding their programming. And I know you at home aren't going to be watching, but it was kind of big news. Morning Joe, which is the garbage show, which Joe Scarborough and his wife, Mika, they host it every day. Well, MSNBC is actually going to be cutting their show by an hour. That's big news. The struggling network is adjusting their schedule, and that's being led by the president. Now, of course, they tried the rebranding to go from MSNBC to MS Now, as if you were going to forget what a garbage network they were from the beginning. So that's not working. So now they're about to make some changes. It's effective in June, so you could expect that to roll out very, very soon. There will be a new morning lineup, daytime programming as well. And we will continue to follow it as it develops. But MSNBC cutting one of their prime shows, I guess you could say. And it's been quite the interesting, you know, sideline show to sit back and watch. All right, folks, I want to go to this next clip, clip four, because there was a retired Air Force major who apparently is missing right now. And it's been about 18 days, probably 19, actually. This is a day old. So let's take a listen to this report, clip four.
No confirmed sightings as the search continues. So I want to tackle this in a different way. I want to bring in astrophysicist Avi Loeb. He's the Frank B. Barr Jr. Professor of Science at Harvard University and also former FBI agent and UFO investigator Ben Hansen. He's the host of Discovery Plus's UFO Witness. Thank you both so much for taking the time. Avi, I'm going to start with you. You know, McCaslin once led this Air Force research laboratory. It handles all of this weapons technology. I talked about the UFO connection. What kind of projects would a person in that role have likely been exposed to? Are we talking UFO secrets? I guess the question I'm asking, in other words, is what information could he potentially have that would be so valuable for someone to potentially take him?
I don't think it's very likely that someone took him for that reason. In that capacity, he probably was responsible for developing the latest technological advances used for weaponry within the Air Force. However, you know, it's hard to believe that material retrieved from many decades ago would be a reason for checking out now that President Trump actually directed the declassification of information that is not important for national security. In the worst case scenario, I can imagine someone threatening him, but not really doing much about it. And also, you know, any technology used for decades ago is not relevant right now. So I would actually dismiss. I completely agree with his wife. I don't think it has anything to do with UFOs. The only thing I can imagine is, you know, that some, for some other reason, you know, that may be completely mundane, someone did something to him, which unfortunately, you know, led to these consequences, but had nothing to do with UFOs as far as I can imagine.
Well, Ben, here's the thing. You know, if he disappeared on his own, it would be so unusual that his, you know, his body wasn't found. He wasn't found. Yes, I know he has outdoor experience. But let's say he was, I mean, what do you believe? Do you think that there's a possibility that this was an abduction, maybe not by a foreign actor, but some sort of personal issue? Or do you believe that what we're seeing right now, leaving his phone there, he goes missing right after the administration announces that they're going to release information regarding extraterrestrials and UAPs and UFOs. Do you think that there's something going on here?
Well, I think it is kind of a leap in speculation to go, you know, down the route of it maybe being connected to UFOs, but more likely, I think we have to have an open mind that something that was related to his work, the question comes up as to why you have so many agencies that are out there looking for him. And my response to that is, you know, when I was in the agency, we had to take a special form anytime we wanted to travel for the weekend and tell what route we're taking, where we're staying. Because when you have a top secret clearance like that actively working on things, you're playing offense and defense. Now, he's been retired for a while, but those things that he came across in the programs he was running could be valuable still, I believe, to people. Either him, heaven forbid, you know, meeting up and sharing things he shouldn't, but then also him being a target. But I agree. I don't know that we have anything connecting it to UFOs at this moment, but it is, very interesting.
Well, Avi, you seem to suggest, and correct me if I'm wrong, that whatever information you have might be outdated, similar to what his wife is saying, but I don't know. He might not know things that could still be, I had Ross Coulthard on the other day, a grave national security risk.
National security is a different matter, yes. I do think that there are secrets that obviously...
Folks, we're taking it back. Obviously, this investigation is ongoing, and we'll see how this lands, but just something interesting they thought should be on your radar, of course. So we'll keep our eye to just that. It looks like, too, right now, the CIA director, Radcliffe, is actually speaking. He is speaking in front of, I told you before, it's Tulsi Gabbard. It's obviously the FBI director, Kash Patel, as well. They're all speaking right now. They are being, the actual vice chair, Mr. Wayne Warner, this is very small, is speaking right now. Let's just jump into this so we can see what's going on.
Which have purview over election security responsibilities to ensure the integrity of our elections. I want to correct one of your statements that you've made multiple times, which is false. I did not participate in a law enforcement activity, nor would I, because that does not exist within my authorities.
You were present on the scene. Are the photos of you on the scene false?
I was at Fulton County, sir, at the request of the president, and to work with the FBI to observe this action. That had long been awaited. I was not aware of what was in the warrant or was not in the warrant.
And what was the president's specific request for you to go to? What was the specific request that was made by the president for you to show up in Fulton County?
To go and observe the FBI's activities on this issue.
So why?
When you look at the warrant, your question, sir.
Do you have the answer why the president was knowing about this affidavit before it was even served?
I'm not aware that the president knew about an affidavit before it was served.
Then why was he sending you to Fulton County?
This occurred the day that the FBI had it approved, their warrant approved by a local judge, and they began to execute this. To address your question, sir, about the foreign nexus question, in order for us to better understand the vulnerabilities in our election systems that may exist today as we look to 2026, and yes, we are very focused on trying to make sure that this election is one that the American people have
faith. Director Gabbard, I've got a number of questions. Director Gabbard, I have a number of questions. Let me ask my next question, please. You have not provided any of the required reports or briefings to this committee on foreign interference. This is the first threat assessment since 2017 that didn't even mention foreign interference. Last year when you were in already
We're going to keep our eye on this hearing right now. Obviously, a lot happening. We'll bring it back to you when something does happen in regards to Joe Kent. I mean, that's the part I'm listening in for. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Back to the American Journal Works site. You're all jumping on board right now. Okay, so we got the confirmation hearing going on right now for Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. That's happening right now. They're talking a little bit about the former DHS policies under Kristi Noem, and they're asking Mullen about that. So let's take a listen.
Somebody else into you, maybe you'll give them a fair shake and you'll actually work with them, because I'm going to find somebody that is capable of doing the job, that's smarter at me at doing the job, that has experience doing the job. But when they come to your office and ask for your support, don't tell them it's politics. Don't say I can't. Don't say that, hey, I supported the previous one, but, you know, I got burned on that one, so I can't support you. We'll trust, but see, just give them a fair opportunity, and you might actually like the person we choose.
And look, it's not just about the person. It's about the policies writ large. And then, look, you know, what we saw before, for instance, Secretary Noem had this policy that required her approval for anything that was going out the door, grants, funding, when it, over $100,000. And I'll be honest with you, it was disastrous. It held up so much of the funding to FEMA and other parts of DHS. You know, Senator Peters and I did a review of this. Over 1,000 FEMA contracts, grants, and disaster assistance awards were delayed. So I wanted to ask you if we can commit, if you can commit to revoking this $100,000 policy by Secretary Noem.
Sir, we talked to you in your office about that. And absolutely. That's called micromanaging. And I don't know if Secretary put that in or someone else did. I'm not a micromanager. We put people in. We empower them to make decisions. What is required to come up to my level, we'll make decisions. We will have a very clear line of communication with every one of our agency's heads on their authority that is given to you within, that you gave to them within their parameters. And we'll discuss. But we're also going to be very responsible for the taxpayer dollars. But it's unrealistic.
It's just about
to some degree.
Just adding so much red tape, though. I mean, they've
yes,
really delayed, especially when it came to disaster response and the Texas floods. I want to switch gears here. This is something you remember we talked about, but, you know, we have this effort right now. ICE has purchased a warehouse in Roxbury, New Jersey. It's a facility the size of 8 football fields to house over 1,500 detainees. Never once did an ICE official go and talk to the local mayor, talk to the local law enforcement, assess the situation alongside the locals. So I just wanted to ask you, is that fair that DHS is imposing these types of large-scale detention facilities without local engagement and input?
Sir, being from small rural Oklahoma, it's a big impact, and the community should be visited with, especially when you start taking a warehouse off. It takes it off the tax roll, which can make a huge impact, and you got to deal with impact aid if they're eligible for it. And then you got to talk about infrastructure. You know, one thing I do know is construction. When you start talking about infrastructure on these places, a warehouse sprinkler system is much smaller than when you are housing individuals there. And if you say, I think you said the town is 60,000 people, and I believe you said this was
smaller than that.
Is it smaller than that? So
about 22,000 people.
Okay. And
of which the detainees and the staff there would constitute about 10% of the population of that town.
Yeah. And realistically, it's not, most municipalities don't have the capacity in their infrastructure for waste and water. So it's important that we're talking to the communities. And if we're having additional needs, we can work with the cities, we can work with the municipalities, but we should always communicate with them.
I agree with that. And this town has only 42 police officers, a volunteer fire department. Does that sound like the kind of town that has resources to take on a warehouse of this magnitude?
Sir, I don't know the circumstances behind this other than what you and I talked about. I committed to you when I visited with you in your office. We'll talk. I even said, let's you and I get on the phone with the mayor. If I'm confirmed, I'll make a trip out there and see it for myself, because it's a big concern of yours and we want to address those concerns. And if it's, listen, if it's not practical, but I also said it's got to be, there may be a specific reason why it's there. If I can't explain that to you, then that's a different story. But if there's a specific reason I can explain it to you to make it make sense, let's talk about it. But if not, then maybe we can be better partners.
I'm glad that you commit to talking about it. There are some documents I asked ICE to send us about their evaluations of the warehouse. We have still yet to get it. Will you commit that that is something that we can get?
Documents are available, yes, but I've also offered something much better. I'll go with you personally and look at it.
That's something that the local community will appreciate, and I hope that you will reassess this warehouse.
As I said in my opening statements, we want to protect the homeland, but we also want peace of mind and bring back confidence to Department of Homeland Security. And all this means that we gotta work on that. And I will work on that.
Senator Scott.
Simone, congratulations.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just, I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here with us today. Getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. A little bit, we'll be taking your calls. Again, if you want to join the show, make sure you call in. We're keeping our eye on a lot of the hearings going on right now. It looks like the FBI Director Kash Patel has begun speaking. And again, they're speaking in front of the Intel Committee that's in the U.S. Senate. Again, it's him. It's Tulsi Gabbard. It is also the CIA Director Radcliffe as well. And we're waiting to see if Joe Kent's name comes up in that hearing. I'll bring it to you, of course, when it does happen. We got our ear to the ground there. But I wanted to talk about Cuba for a second, because President Trump has been speaking about Cuba a lot. And if you're a Cuban communist right now, you're probably a little on edge given what you've seen so far in Venezuela and Iran as well. And so when it comes to all of that, there's also a lot of lawmakers here in the United States who are a little concerned if the president does have plans on going out there and trying to attack Cuba next. Now, one of the individuals was just recently testifying, acting assistant defense secretary, Joseph Humer, was actually asked that specific question this was yesterday in clip 8. Take a listen.
Yesterday afternoon, the president told reporters, "I do believe I'll have the honor of taking Cuba." When he was asked what he meant by this, he said, "Taking Cuba in some form, whether I free it, take it, I think I can do anything I want with it. If you want to know the truth, they're a very weakened nation right now." General Donovan's prepared statements do not mention Cuba, nor does the National Defense Strategy identify Cuba as a threat. Can anybody identify for me or explain or define what take it could mean? And then further, what imminent threat the government of Cuba is placing on Americans right now?
As I mentioned before, Congresswoman, Cuba has been involved in pretty much every threat that the United States has faced from the Western Hemisphere, whether it's intelligence, whether it's aligning with criminal groups, whether it's working with external state actors. The Cuban government has been intricately involved in a lot of these threats, and fundamentally, we're involved inside Venezuela. and interoperation
imminent effort. Threat from the Cuban government to the American people right now.
Through networks, working with adversaries of the United States.
So as you probably know, the prolonged blockade has caused, as of yesterday, Cuba's power grid to go down. Can you please help me understand, are we preparing to go and invade Cuba?
So the shortages that are happening in Cuba on both electricity and power have to do with the fact that Venezuela was subsidizing oil shipments to Cuba at pretty much a fraction of cost in exchange for security personnel that was identified when we conducted Operation Absolute Result.
Are we preparing to invade Cuba?
Ma'am, I'm not familiar with any plans on Cuba. What I'm saying is that fundamentally Cuba's provided a significant threat to the United States hemispheric security for decades and close to half a century.
All right, so that is the short answer there. So will the president start to get a little bit more aggressive with Cuba? Joining me to discuss is Larry Taunton. He's the host of Ideas Have Consequences, which you could find over on YouTube. You can also find him on X at Larry Taunton. Larry, it's always great to have you back on the show, my friend, and an honor, of course. I wanted to talk Cuba with you. You've been to the region. Obviously, you're well-versed on it. And the president's getting a little aggressive with his warnings to Cuban officials. There's also several reports saying that the Cuban communists who are running the country are willing and also exchanging back and forth with this administration right now. So what do you make in regards to the president's threats against Cuba? And what do you make about what they've done thus far?
Well, first of all, good to be with you, Brianna, as always. I think the president is using the bully bullpen, as Teddy Roosevelt called it, and I think he's using it very effectively. What we're hearing is the Cubans are suddenly now interested in talking to the Trump administration about some kind of negotiated, you know, agreement. Cuba is, along with North Korea, is one of the few genuinely communist countries remaining in the world. You know, China now is fascist. It isn't Cuban in any meaningful sense. Communist in any meaningful sense. Nor is Vietnam, but Cuba is. And I was there just a few years ago, and it was fascinating. First of all, how friendly the Cuban people were, how very pro-American they were, but also how utterly destitute and third world Cuba is. And that is because socialism, communism, has absolutely cratered that economy. So I think what Trump is doing here makes very good sense.
Yeah. Well, do you expect, and actually, you know, let's play this clip, because there was another congressman who was also speaking on the threat of Cuba in clip 9. I want to listen to this one. Take a listen.
Political change, you're not going to have any economic change or improvement to the situation for the people of Cuba. This government has run the economy right into the ground, and it doesn't work. Communism, socialism doesn't work in Cuba, doesn't work anywhere else either.
All right, that was Congressman Jimenez, who is detailing just that. Obviously, I think you and I both know that communism doesn't work, but when it comes to the economy currently in Cuba, just detail what you saw when you were on the ground there, and specifically what's up ahead for that, because I mean it does look like they were strongly reliant on Venezuela, obviously, and now that that's gone completely for them, I mean this is going to be a rough road ahead for Cubans.
Yeah, well, let me tell just two very quick stories that I think will illustrate the problem there. While I was there, a young woman who was translator for me, one day it's time for lunch. And I said to her, you know, is the Cuban sandwich actually Cuban, or is that something American and we just call it that? And she said, no, it's actually Cuban. And I said, you know, I've never had one. And she said, neither have I. And I said, really? Why not? And she said, because she was not kidding. She said, because we can't afford meat. I said, are you kidding me? You've never been able to afford like lunch meat? You've never had a Cuban sandwich? Well, today I am changing your life. I took her to a restaurant that caters, you know, to foreigners, chiefly, say, Russians or Chinese, not a lot of Americans in Cuba. Second story is this. I had gotten into Cuba because I just published my book, Around the World in More Than 80 Days, and I'm sitting in a cigar shop talking with a friend of mine, and he says, you know, how many countries, you know, do you cover? And I said, 26 countries. I'm comparing them to the United States. He says, is there any country you didn't get into that you wanted to get into? I said, yeah, I couldn't get into Cuba. And he said, I can get you into Cuba. And so I did. I went with him under, you know, the auspices of humanitarian relief. And when once I got into the country, I let them do their thing most of the time. And I departed and to go and do, there it is, to go and do my own thing. Next thing you know, I am summoned by the state police. They come to my hotel. They leave a letter stating I must appear at 9 a.m. the next morning. And I go in and I'm interviewed by them. They want to know why I'm there, what my activities are, what I'm up to. This is fairly common to my life, Brianna. But the point I'm simply trying to make here is not only is it a very poor country, but it is a state it's a police force with a state, not a state with a police force. And as a result, it's highly oppressive. Everything you do is being monitored. The government is frightened of its own people, and you can be arrested at any moment. That's Cuba.
Yeah. It's so sad because I would love to one day visit Cuba. But unfortunately, given the current regime, I would never go anywhere near it. That's why I thought it was fascinating. I was watching your videos. I'm like, this is fascinating to see you on the ground there. Truly. So Larry, kudos to you for going. But I want to dive into a different topic, and I kind of want to like give you the floor for this one because you are the expert. You put together a really cool Twitter thread yesterday. And again, for our audience, if you don't follow Larry on X, I'd highly recommend you do just that. It's at Larry Taunton. But you did this really good one on the left's obsession with population control. Again, obviously this is something that Alex Jones talks about all the time, but you've put together this really cool thread. So walk us through it.
Yeah. Paul Ehrlich, the author of The Population Bomb, which was published in 1968, he died yesterday at age 93. And his book was seminal and important, not because the predictions, the apocalyptic predictions that he made came true. They didn't. None of them did. He said that hundreds of millions, even billions of people would die from starvation as a result of overpopulation and limited resources. But that book triggered an absolute panic all over the Western world and even led to China's one-child policy. So I was simply outlining how this is an idea that had disastrous consequences for the West, indeed for China. I mean, we are seeing if you're on Twitter at all these days, people will see that not just Alex Jones, but that Elon Musk is frequently talking about a population collapse throughout the United States, meaning not enough babies are being born to replace the existing population in countries like the United States and Britain and France and Germany and Italy and Spain and so on. This is what has taken place. And a lot of this began with a very secular prophecy, this book right here, The Population Bomb. And unfortunately, there was never any retraction. There was never any admitting we were wrong. I mean, this led to Roe v. Wade. It led to the creation of the Club of Rome. It led to the creation of the World Economic Forum, all of which always had depopulation as the centerpiece of their program.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is the centerpiece of their program. And Larry, you know, I kind of want to pivot a little bit, and I know we weren't expected to talk about this, but we've got our ear right now to the Senate testimony that's being given right now by Tulsi Gabbard. We've been covering it all day. She was actually just discussing Joe Kent, and I want to make sure we jumped in on that. So let's take a quick listen.
Has sole authority, I guess, in his bones to declare whether something is an imminent threat. I didn't agree with your friend, Mr. Kent. But I didn't, again, I agreed with him yesterday.
I'm hearing no audio.
The fact that there was no imminent threat. I guess what I'm concerned about, one thing is, even in your printed testimony today on page 6, and your last paragraph on page 6, as a result of Operation Midnight Hammer, Iran's nuclear enrichment program was obliterated. There's been no efforts to try to rebuild their enrichment capability. You omitted that paragraph from your oral opening. Was that because the president said there was an imminent threat 2 weeks?
No, sir. I recognize that the time was running long and I skipped through some of the portions.
So you chose
Oral delivered remarks.
You chose to omit the parts that contradict the president. The president continues to say as well that, you know, he had no idea, was shocked that the Iranians had moved to take over the Strait of Hormuz. Did you, provide any intelligence that would say that it would be that it was not likely that the Iranians would try to move on the strait?
I'm not aware of those remarks, and I think those of us here at the table can point to the fact that historically the Iranians have always threatened to leverage their control over the Strait of Hormuz.
Why would the president say he was amazed?
I'm not aware of those remarks.
What about the comments the president made that thought that he was surprised again? Reports that Iran struck the adjacent Gulf states.
Again, I'm not aware of those remarks. We have
Did you brief the president if he starts a war of choice that the likely result would be that Iran would strike adjacent Gulf nations and close the Strait of Hormuz? Did you brief him on those two facts that I think have been consistently the assumptions of the intelligence community?
I have not and won't divulge internal conversations. I will say that those of us within the intelligence community continue to provide the president with all of the best objective intelligence available to inform his decisions.
Senator Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Gabbard, you just testified that
all right, so
ISIS
just to do a little recap there, I didn't hear Joe Kent's name in any of that. I did hear about the intel briefings that they were trying to figure out if President Trump was aware of there being any type of intel briefings being given over to him that detailed that the Iranian regime would strike its neighbors. And that was one of the questions that was thrown at Gabbard. Gabbard would not divulge any information that was given over to the president, but specifically they wanted to know. Cause again, Iran, I mean, we've heard these threats before, Larry. I'll bring you back in. Cause, you know, Larry, we were listening into a Charlie Kirk clip from months ago prior to his assassination. And Charlie Kirk was saying, hey, listen, if we attack Iran, the Iranian regime is going to strike its neighbors because they're going to bring everyone into World War III. And so that's what we were told by Charlie Kirk. He seemed to have known that. So Tulsi Gabbard was just asked if she gave that type of a briefing to the president prior to his attack on Iran, and she wouldn't divulge that information. Larry, what do you make of that, though? Because that seems to be the focus on a lot of this as well. Their focus is, well, we see all of their neighbors being attacked now because the goal is to bring them in on this war to make this a massive World War III scenario for them. And Gabbard's not really telling us whether or not she divulged that information to the president. Do you think that's important for the American people to hear?
Well, I do trust President Trump, and I trust that there are things that we probably shouldn't know or at this point don't need to know. So I can't comment on that definitively. But I will say this, Brianna, I am so anti war in Ukraine. I've been in Ukraine, been in Russia many times. My first book was on child trafficking in Ukraine, where I had to bribe every single government official to adopt a little girl who is now my daughter. And if you get anything done in Russia, it's the same thing. Both of them are deeply corrupt countries, and that was positioned to us as these are bastions of freedom. We have no business being involved there. Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, I see as America first for this reason. Regarding Venezuela, I was following a lot of these caravans throughout South America for about 5 years. You know, I was doing that, and most of these people were coming out of Venezuela. I mean, I've been saying for years, if we're going to address our border problem, we have got to make some of these countries in South America, where most of these people were coming from, livable, where they stay in their own countries. So that's one thing. Cuba has been a threat since Fidel Castro took over in 1959, and it has been used as a staging area for missiles, for assaults against the United States for decades now. And Iran, I am old enough, Brianna, you're quite young, but I'm old enough. I was a child when the so-called Iranian Revolution swept the Ayatollahs into power in 1979. And they've been attacking the United States via proxies or directly ever since. In the first 2 years of the Biden administration, the Iranians attacked again, either directly or through proxies, American soldiers in the Middle East 83 times. And you know what the Biden administration did? They said, you know what? Let's reverse Trump-era oil embargoes on Iran and allow them to increase their exports by 80% and thus get hard currency for terrorist attacks. Let's give them $10 billion in sanction waivers. Let's unfreeze Trump-era frozen assets to the tune of $6 billion. Basically, the Biden administration has funded, and the Obama administration before that, was funding, enabling Iranian attacks, and Iran is one of the heads of the terrorist snake, against the United States. So I see this very much as America first. I trust that Trump knows what he's doing here. I don't think this is going to be another Afghanistan, you know, or Vietnam or anything to that effect.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the timeline, but I know the president initially thought this could be like a 5-week plan when in regards to Iran. So we'll see how this all plays out. Larry Taunton, you're doing an incredible job as always, breaking all of this down for us. Most importantly, for your audience over at Ideas Have Consequences. Now, you do a great job on YouTube. So folks at home, make sure you give him a follow on YouTube and on X as well. Larry Taunton is where you could find him on Twitter. Larry, thank you for jumping on with us today. I appreciate you doing that and jumping in on this topic. Obviously, that was a last minute one, so we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you, Brianna. You take care.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks. Again, that's at Larry Taunton, where you could follow him as well on Twitter. Let's pivot a little bit, though, because I'm watching what's going on right now, and we'll bring you the updates. It looks like Tulsi Gabbard's still speaking. I figured she was going to be the one in the hot seat for the bulk of this, so we're going to keep our eye to that. The White House also moments ago coming out and saying that Tulsi Gabbard's job is not in jeopardy after that letter, that resignation letter, was released by Joe Kent. Obviously, it was a very aggressive letter, but those internally were trying to blame Gabbard on keeping him on board, saying that the White House wanted him long time ago tossed from his position. And Gabbard's team say that was never true. They never asked her to fire him. And so it's been a bit of a back and forth. We're also keeping our eye, too. Like I told you, I'll be watching. Joe Kent is expected to speak with Tucker Carlson today at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I'll be watching that and bring you the recap of their discussion on tomorrow's show. So you bet it's going to be a good one, of course. But again, we're keeping our eye on those hearings. A lot happening in Washington, D.C. today. Nothing of like real substance. Like, I'm not talking about like reforms or trying to laminate the president's agenda by passing a lot of his executive orders into law. Nothing of that nature. But grilling those who Democrats and Republicans love to go after. That's what looks to be happening right now. So we'll keep our eye to it, of course. And in case you want to join the show, well, again, we'll put up the number. We're going to be taking your calls in the next portion of the show. So if you want to join, give us a call. The number, as always, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539 for our audience at home. That is the number to call into if you'd like to join the show. And folks, we'll be doing calls all week long. As many of you guys know, I've got about two more shows hosting as the American Journal host. And so if you want to join the show, we'll be taking your calls throughout the week. But also, if you want to stay in touch with my work, I'll be working with InfoWars, of course. And, you know, you can find me filling in and helping out with their new news division that they're looking to build up, of course, for the next project. But most importantly, you could stay in touch with me by heading on over to independentnewsroom.com. That is my free email list. You could join my newsletter, of course. It's where I put out about two, maybe a month max, stories or exclusive stories that I do my best to make sure we don't drown you in anything. We just give you the most important, most relevant stories that you won't see in the mainstream media. So again, it's independentnewsroom.com, independentnewsroom.com. I'm also on Rumble and YouTube as well. Just search Brianna Morello, as well as X. That's BriannaMorello. Also, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because, well, we've got iodine. If you're a VIP member, and we're so thankful for you becoming a VIP member, we've got 50% off for you. That is our thank you to supporting InfoWars in our next project. And again, every time you make a purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com, you are helping us fund our next operation. So we're honored that you do just that. So head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. And snag some iodine for VIP members to get 50% off. And if you're not VIP, we'll still give you a discount for helping us out. 25% off is what you'll get for that. We're also, well, we just added some new apparel. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you take a look at that as well. A lot of sick gear that you'll see up on the website right now. Again, folks, we're keeping our eye to all of the hearings going on right now. I mean, I'm trying my best to like give you the best parts of it because some of this is going to be an absolute snooze fest. So only bring you the most important portions of these hearings. And again, I don't understand how this might work for Mark Wayne Mullen. I mean, he was just pretty much going after Rand Paul. Rand Paul looking for an apology for what he deems was supporting violence, political violence against Rand Paul. Many of you guys know he was beaten. He was by a neighbor. He got his bones, his ribs broke. He had to get a portion of his lungs removed. And Mullen not even apologizing for not condemning the violence against him. So I don't know if he's going to get confirmed because Rand Paul is the chairman of that committee. So Mullen's got a lot more work that he needs to do. We'll keep our eye to it, of course. Don't go anywhere. Taking your calls in just a moment.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these... Fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this in 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvisshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvisshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvisshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue, and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvisshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here today. Final lap of the show. And we'll be turning to your calls in just a little bit. But yeah, if you want to join the show, 877, we got the number here. 877, let's see, it's not popping up. The number is going to be on your screen in a second. I am working remote, and so I've got the issue of Zoom. Okay, so it's 877-789-2539 is the number to call, of course. That is the number that's going to bring you onto the show. If you want to keep it to the topics we've discussed thus far, you're more than welcome to do just that, 877-789-2539. Let's dive into some of the calls. We've got a first-time caller on the line. It's Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Hey, I just want to thank you for your work that you've done. Are you going to be doing another show when they open up the other studio?
We are not sure yet, Chris. I know we're working on building up that news division as of right now, but there's nothing. I mean, we're still kind of focused on the InfoWars thing. I don't think they've done the lineup yet. So it's a to-be-announced kind of thing right now.
Okay. So what do you think the possibility is that Donald Trump's a double agent?
I don't think that's – I haven't seen any evidence of that. Have you, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, does it really seem like he's working in our best interest?
I mean, there's definitely some things that he's done that I deem are good, and then there are some things that I don't think are good for our country. What specifically, though, are you looking to talk about?
Just that, really. It just seems like he's working more towards Israel's best interest than ours.
Yeah, well, do you deem the Iranian regime as a threat to this country?
I mean, I do, but do they seem like an immediate threat, though? Like, I haven't seen any actual threats. Like, I mean, besides these terrorist attacks, but I think that was in response to what we did to them.
Yeah, no, definitely. The terrorist attacks, the last four, I would say, yes, those were in response. Yeah, I mean, I it's kind of what I've been talking about on this show. I haven't received any information showing what they mean by that this had to be something that was acted upon when we had a partial DHS shutdown still ongoing, as well as not arresting the suspected and known terrorists that were released into our country due to the Biden administration. So, yeah, from that angle, I don't get it. But again, there's classified information that I don't have any access to, so I don't understand what the president sees. None of that information has been put forward. We hear from people who do have this access, and they continue to back the president. We're told that Joe Kent didn't have access to that information, so he wouldn't be able to speak on the issue. I'm going to be waiting to see what Kent has to say later today when he's interviewing with Tucker Carlson. So, I mean, I don't want to jump to any conclusions and be radical in the belief that he might be working for another country. I'd hope that's not the case, but do I believe that Jared Kushner is working in the best interest of Jared Kushner, his family, in Israel? I believe that to be true. Yeah, we've seen it time and time again. So someone like that, when I hear that he's got the president's ear, has me deeply, deeply concerned. The president even citing Kushner as the reason why they launched these attacks. I did believe the threat was imminent. So I don't know as of yet. I won't jump the fence on whether the president is working for another country or not. I feel like that might be a bit extreme, but I can say that there's definitely different things. There's certain things that he's done that I strongly disagree with. And then when it comes to Iran, I'm still waiting for more information to kind of come out there and trickle out there, because I don't want to be someone who just kind of reacts without all the information. I'd rather have the information put in front of me. So, Chris, I appreciate you calling in today. I want to thank you for that. We greatly appreciate it as a first-time caller, so thank you. Let's get to Jefferson in Virginia. Jefferson, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Trump as the double agent. I think he's sort of playing a role right now to make the Israelis think he's on their side, and his supporters like Adelson think he's on their side. But I think he's going to double-cross them in the end. I don't think he wants the Greater Israel Project to work out to the point where Greater Israel would reach all the way over to the border next to Iran, because Greater Israel would take over all of Iraq. So I don't think that would be a good thing unless somehow we have a regime in Iran that is no longer – aggressive against Israel, especially if Israel is going to move its border right on their border. I mean, it doesn't seem like something that would be good. But your guest was saying we're shooting up the missile sites on the north shore of the Strait of Hormuz. I haven't seen any video evidence of that taking place, where things in the mountains are getting blown up that oversee the Strait of Hormuz. But I certainly would like to see that getting done. So sometime in the near future.
Well, so what would be your reasoning for that? Just the detail to our audience, Jefferson.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen in terms of control over the Strait of Hormuz. We can't let the Shiites continue to run Iran and have control over what gets to travel through the Strait of Hormuz. It's not their strait. You know, there's a southern side of the strait that's controlled by other countries. So, you know, international waters and travel through international waters is supposed to be something we all agree to. So Iran doesn't have a right to tell people who can and can't travel through the strait. It's not theirs to control without a fight, so to speak. But, if we have to go in there and annex a section of Iran away from them along the southern shoreline there from Iran and give it to the UN or something, I don't know. You know, I'm not a big fan of the UN, but we need some way of keeping them from having the ability to launch missiles that can hit the ships so quickly that we don't have any reaction time to shoot them down or use lasers or whatever we have to interrupt the threat. You know, shipping isn't going to take place when there's a chance that your whole cargo and ship can get blown up all at once. You're not going to get insurance for that as long as there's any threat at all. So that has to be eliminated one way or another, and this sort of war could drag on much longer than we want it to if we're going to try to use conventional weapons to take that area away from the Shiites. So, regime change is something we'd like the people of Iran to take on themselves, but we're going to have to airlift guns in for that to take place. That can't happen right now in the current situation, no matter how many of the leadership we blow up or the Israelis blow up. There's always going to be another person of the Shiite persuasion that's going to want to be in charge, and the population is just sort of stuck in this situation where they don't have any ability to rebel against whatever regime is in charge. So it's not a quagmire yet, but it's sort of heading in that direction, I think.
Yeah. Jefferson, it's a complex issue, and that's why people ask me for a hot take on it. I'm like, listen, I got to like sit back, decompress, hear everything, and then kind of figure it out. It's just such a complex issue. And thank you for breaking that down for us too. It's one of the things that I think, like, I don't have a strong take on it. When I watch people have a strong take on it, I'm like, hold on. Like, wait a minute. Like, I don't think the president would have done this without a strong plan and put in place. So I'm just going to keep waiting for a little bit longer to figure this all out. But obviously, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of strategy behind here, and it sounds like he's got a good grip on that so far. But do I agree with the timing of all of this? No, I definitely don't. Jefferson, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that as always. Let's turn to our next caller. Bill of the Laura Loomer fan club is calling us. He calls us from the great state of Wisconsin. Bill, it's always good to chat with you.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Really good, Brianna. I'm a little bummed out with this idea of you not doing the morning show. let me just backtrack, though, before I forget about your first-time caller, Chris. Chris had a great point when he said, I didn't feel like there was an imminent threat. It's what a lot of people are saying, and I'm even saying that. I didn't see any imminent threat of Iran bombing the United States, killing Americans, that whole storyline. And this is where Trump dropped the ball a little bit. He didn't come out and make a case before he started the war, which, you know, maybe you don't want to do. And he didn't come out and make a case after he started the war and really lay it out for the people, show some stuff and say, here's why. Boom, boom, boom. So great call for Chris. When I called, they said, what do you want to talk about, Bill? I said, I want to talk about today's show. First off, I want to glaze Brianna a little bit because she's maybe moving on. Hopefully you're not. But what a great show. Your mic today. I don't know what you did with the mic, but it sounds really good today. The production of show today is just off the charts. I mean, in the first 30 minutes, boom, Breitbart, O'Keefe, Dana Loesch. Oh, you talked about getting these politicians autographing stuff, right? Brianna, I used to do that as kind of a scam in Wisconsin as an icebreaker to get these politicians to talk to me. In Wisconsin, they have this book that the state gives out. It's called the Blue Book. I think a lot of states have these. And in this Blue Book that comes out every year from the state, all the politicians, their pictures are in there, blah, blah, blah. So these books come out, and you can get them for free. So I would take that book, to events, and when I would see a particular politician who was in there, whether I liked them, oh, can I get your autograph? Open the book to their page, boom, get them to talk, and then just see that. Give me a break. They are not, number one, they're not our leaders. They're my representative. They're supposed to represent us. Oh, your leaders. No, no, they're not my leader. They don't lead me. So anyway, great show. If the morning show, if you need a host, if I had your crew and your production, I can sit in there and do that show. So tell Alex if he needs somebody to come in for the morning show, because there's a big loss in there's no morning shows, Brianna. There's nothing. No. So when you popped onto the scene and then with the quality, it's going to be a big loss. So just so Alex knows,
it was available.
Yeah, no, I'm available. I'll move to Texas. Tell Alex, give me a guest slot. Now, I'm going to leave it with this, but Tulsi. So Tulsi's a big topic right now. Did you notice how good Tulsi looked today? That suit was beautiful. Her hair, she minimized the little gray streak, which I think is a good move. The big gray streak doesn't work for her. It's her makeup, everything. And why did – this is where I'm going to end it. Somebody needs to tell me, why did Tulsi have a Band-Aid on her finger? Did you notice that on her right hand?
I did.
Why does she have a Band-Aid? Mm-hmm. It was a big Band-Aid. What's up with that?
Was she cooking? She might have been cooking. You know, us women, regardless of your title.
Well, it could be. Oh, you know what? I want to say about the cooking. Are you a coffee person?
No, I know.
But then you don't know about the Cafe Bustelo. Coffee people know about Cafe Bustelo. It's like a fine grind espresso. And I had a pot of that before calling. Let me tell you, that shit make your hair stand on end. Yeah, good.
Anyway. I hear you, Bill. Bill, as always, my friend, it's always good to catch up with you and hear you out. We'll let Alex know. He's supposed to be on a little vacation right now. But we'll make sure to get the message to him. Bill, as always, thank you for calling to the show. And thank you for your loyalty and sharing our content. We greatly appreciate it, as always. And we'll see what happens next. We shall see. All right, let's get to our next caller. Chad in Minnesota is on the line. Chad, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Yeah, sad to hear you go. Best of luck with everything that you move on to. And it's been a real pleasure listening to you and the professionalism that you brought to the morning for all the viewers. So we really appreciate
it. Thank you, Chad. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Colleen, I'll try to be real quick. I'm very happy, or I'm glad that you covered the missing retired Air Force Major General William McCaslin. I think there's, you know, stuff that just kind of gets, obviously it gets buried a little bit, or it doesn't really get brought up. And it's really strange that hasn't caught fire like Nancy Guthrie caught fire on Fox News. I mean, he's obviously an important person. And, you know, now it seems like after 18 days, okay, maybe we'll start to, you know, bring it up, you know, here and there on some of the major. I haven't seen anything on Fox News, but I don't watch it. I just watch it to kind of catch up to see where they're at, kind of read it. And I'm not a fan, but I also recognize a lot of things there. And Eric Burleson has been extremely concerned about that. And I believe he's been on your show, correct? Has he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I think he might be somebody to reach out about that if you guys haven't already or something. But he's made the comments about, you know, it's really disturbing that they believe it. You know, he has a lot of information. And there's, you know, that Nuno Loureiro, the Portuguese physicist for the director of MIT, the Plasma Sciences Infusion Center, he disappeared, and that just kind of, oh, whatever, you know. And those obviously are two important things, I think, with free energy. I know Austin Forbes has been commenting a lot on just the, you know, the missing of the retired Air Force major. So I mean, again, that's a huge thing. And maybe Tri-Alpha Energy is something to look into as well, being that, you know, that energy company tied to Trump also tied to a couple other interesting groups, Chevron, the Kremlin, Kuwait, that sort of thing. That might be something to look into. But number one, what I noticed about with Joe Ken, and I'm in the same boat with you, is just let's see how it plays out. I believe in him. I think there's more to the story. I think we need to hear both sides. But it was interesting on Fox News last night to hear Don Bongino, I call him Don, but Don Bongino, you know, basically throw him under the bus about his access to the, you know, the type of information that he has as opposed to what Dan had. And I don't trust that, because what Dan gave us was pretty much upside down, backwards with everything, you know, that has occurred there. In my opinion, you know, that Brian, the January 5th suspect that's in, you know, being held, that mm-hmm. that doesn't hold up, you know, that sort of thing.
But then there was, exactly.
And, you know, that's still that's gone by the wayside, seems like. But the number one thing with what happened last night, there was another interview that caught my attention of a war analyst and a former IDF special operations commander, Doran Spielman. He made the comment about the options that they feel they have. And it's obviously it's tied to Mossad, CIA. And he had mentioned an option of talking about, and I think they're trying to kind of program us to feel like this is okay. But he said 3 to 6 months with conventional forces on the ground. And that was on Jesse Waters last night. Jesse wasn't there. It was a guest host. But that's concerning me. 3 to 6 months as being an option to, you know, basically bring in what they feel, you know, and replace the regime there. So that doesn't sound like short term to me. So thank you again for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, Chad, it doesn't sound short term to me. Yeah, I think the president initially was saying 5 weeks and but he didn't want to limit himself. And then they just never gave us a deadline. So I know Pete Hegseth, as the Secretary of War, was refusing to give a deadline either because he didn't want to get the president stuck with anything. So, yeah, I mean, we'll just keep seeing how this all plays out. It's kind of like one of those things you got to kind of wait to see as the dust settles. So thank you, Chad, as always, for calling to the show. Chuck in Ohio is up next. Chuck, welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Good morning, Leanna.
Now, this Good morning. Is a How are you?
Blue deal I'm offering you. A news tip, if it pans out, you guys do the legwork, you save the country, you save Trump's bacon. This is the tip. When I was in Alabama, near Selma, Alabama, a place called Black Belt, I learned that investment banks in New York came in and bought the mineral rights from the farmers. There must be oil there because it's an ancient seabed there. So someone just needs to do the new legwork. I guess this is a hunch on my part. So InfoWars can dig and dig and dig and can save the bacon of America. And if it pans out, send me a bottle of methylene blue.
Chuck, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. Interesting, interesting. Let's get to James in Indiana. James, welcome to the show.
Now, there was some news that came out. There was a shooting at the in Georgia at the VA, and I wasn't sure exactly what's going on. It'd be nice if somebody could pick up that story.
Is that just as of today? Because I haven't gotten anything.
I think it happened yesterday. You probably just look up VA shooting Georgia, and it'll come right up. I know in the past, Georgia VA's had numerous problems within, like, they had 3 veterans within a time frame a while back kill themselves and, like, one set themselves on fire, a bunch of crazy stuff going on down there. But a lot of times, I blame the VA for a lot of these problems because they drug these veterans with these pills that cause all kinds of problems, and nobody's addressing that issue. It says the IG looking into it, but I don't trust the IG's office because a lot of times they don't fix anything, and a lot of times they sit there and retaliate against people, which is disgusting. But that story needs to be looked into. And thanks for your time. You've done an amazing job at InfoWars. I wish you'd stay longer. Hopefully Rob Dewell said in. He does an amazing job. Also, Rosen, I've been trying to get this name to him. There's a guy which you should do a jailhouse interview with. His name is Nicholas Stanley out of Indiana. He killed a pedophile, and he's looking at 20 years in prison or something like that. But you guys should do a jailhouse interview with him.
What's his name again? Give it to me one more time.
Nicholas Stanley.
Did you say family?
Yeah, live.
Sorry.
Yeah, he said live on TV. He killed the guy because he was molesting one of his family members or something.
I'll look into it. Yeah, because I feel like I've heard a couple of those stories. But why would they? I mean, they'd have to have a reason for believing that they could get him in front of a jury and a jury would convict him on something like that. Was there a reason why they thought that they were? Because normally prosecutors won't even go after it if they think that. There is a chance, obviously, this is like a very emotional story, and you know, they can probably never get a jury to convict someone because everyone hates pedophiles. So is there, I'm looking into it now, is there any anything that stands out in your mind as to why they are prosecuting him?
You have to look into it more. Get that to Alex Rosen. I mean, yeah, it's disgusting the way, you know, if that pedophile was still in jail, Nicholas Stanley wouldn't have killed him. But these pedophiles are just, it's disgusting how they're mistreating these children in this country. It needs to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, police said a witness told them they saw Stanley looking in the window of the alleged pedophile's home. I don't know if he's, I have to look him up to see if he's convicted or not, before knocking on the door. When the alleged pedophile opened the door, Stanley began opening fire on him, shot him dead in the head and the chest. Yeah, I'll have to look into this because I don't have the information on it, as of yet, but, interesting. Yeah, this article doesn't mention anything about pedophilia, so I'll have to do some digging into that. Thanks for putting this on our radar though, James. I appreciate it. And I'll look into the story itself because this happened, it looks like last year, last summer, the June of 2025, it looks like. So, I will, look into this, and I appreciate putting it on my radar. Thank you, James. Thank you very much. We've got about 2 minutes left. So I want to make sure we get to at least one more caller. Lee in Kansas is on hold. Lee, you got 2 minutes, so take it away.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. First, my look at and how I perceive what's going on with Trump and attacking Iran. We've needed peace in the Middle East for decades, and the Ayatollah regime that went in there 47 years ago has done nothing but countered that. And so we're taking them out to bring peace in the Middle East and secure the Strait of Hormuz for the free and frequent trafficking of supplies, including oil, in and out of that region. That's just my take on it. The other thing I had real quick, since I've still got about a minute left, is what if the FBI and all of these Department of Justice agencies had all this information on Epstein, why wasn't he arrested or kept from going near presidents going all the way back to 1993? And why wasn't he arrested years before he actually did get arrested for child trafficking and soliciting of minors?
Yeah. That's one of the many questions we all have. And the crazy part is obviously this is why people believe he was working for a foreign agency. I know a lot of people say Mossad. And so, you know, when you ask people, everyone denies it. They deny knowing anything, of course. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a reason for it. I think they'd want him around foreign leaders. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was asked during her deposition specifically about that. If she believed, I believe it was Congresswoman Luna who said, do you believe that you were being used to possibly get dirt on you through Epstein? And she denied those claims that she had no evidence of it. But apparently Luna, I mean, she was very persistent even after the deposition in believing that that was the case, that both Bill and Hillary were possibly used by a foreign intelligence agency to gather information and dirt on them. So yeah, I mean, there's many layers to it. I think that most people, if they would have known, probably wouldn't. I would hope that they wouldn't be anywhere near this guy. But yeah, there's a lot going on that front. And Lee will keep, you know, our eye to it, of course, as always. Thank you for calling to the show. And thank you for everyone else who's called in so far. Again, we've got about two more shows with me as your host. So I'm going to try my very best to take callers through the rest of the week. So those of you who called, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And if you're on the hold lines, I am sorry we didn't get to everyone, but I appreciate you calling in. All right, folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Iodine is on sale. If you're a VIP member, you're going to get access to it for 50% off. But if you're not VIP, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, you do get 25% off at least. That is a great discount over at thealexjonesstore.com. So stop what you're doing right now and make sure you grab some of that. And I took it before the show too. It definitely helps with your cognitive abilities, especially when you pair it up with methylene blue as well. I know Alex is an advocate for that. It definitely helps you with brain fog as well, because many of us do have that. So head on over to the shop and make sure you snag it before it is too late. Again, if you're a VIP member, you get 50% off. And we appreciate you supporting us. Of course, that helps go to our next operation, as well as if you're not a VIP member, you get 25% off. So we'll still give you a discount, of course. All right, folks, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. So stay put. There's more to talk about in just a moment.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at theellishowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.